Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Kevin and Leah now.
Kevin James, Leah Remini, stars of King of Queens. Frequent visitors to this program.
Call on the set.
Where they're in rehearsal.
She said specifically that we should ask for Kevin first.
Okay. Yeah, well, we might as well honor that.
Okay. Maybe you're right. Maybe they have like a little skit for us.
Yeah, could be.
Yes, is Kevin there, please? This is Donna Mike. Okay. Okay.
Whether this is part of the sketch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're on the air.
Very good.
Like he cares.
It's going to take about 30 seconds. Let's see if we can hear it. Can we hear them rehearse?
No, they're not rehearsing.
That is a goof. It's 100% goof.
What's up, man?
Kevin.
Hey.
What's up, boys?
Do you hear her cackling?
We knew it was a scam.
We're rehearsing. What's happening?
Oh, hey. Hi. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Time Slot Winner.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, listen.
We got lucky. But we're still not. Look at freaking Becker and these other ones on our sheet.
No, listen. Kevin. You won your time slot.
Yeah.
You did. You won your demos, right? Kevin?
Yeah.
You won demos.
You're right. Doing great.
You won your time slot. You did better than that piece of crap show that's on at 8:30.
That one dropped off a little, but that's still, I don't know what's going to happen with that one. That'll pick up, though.
You know what? This Kevin James and this Leah Remini, they're very hard people to please. When will you ever be happy, Kevin? You are
in syndication.
You are.
Yeah, that'll be happy.
number one in your time slot. Congratulations.
Way to go.
Kevin.
And thanks to you guys.
The show
is part of our family now. So
the show is fantastic. It really is. The show is getting funnier and funnier, and we're real happy for you guys.
Well, thanks. Your picture's up now.
Really?
Really?
We got a big freaking headshot of the two of you.
Really, Matt? And where is this in your home?
This is the bad part. It's under the rug in the garage. I'm kidding. It's on our, what is it, on our piano or it's on the bookshelf?
Now, you know, when we were out there a couple of weeks ago, when incidentally, Mr. Big Shot, you weren't able to come to the CBS rodeo?
First of all, I was in New York. You guys come here and I go there.
We understand. We understand. When the major stars, they can't take time out of their busy schedules.
So yeah.
So we went to Leah's house, and we had a picture taken with Leah on her couch, and she had told us that maybe that would end up going on the refrigerator again.
Oh, you want to do that?
Yeah.
Well, we want as much as we can get. Yeah. We're not going to lie to you.
When are you going to come out and be on the show?
Okay. All right.
Well, now, since you're the main man, since you're the boss,
yeah.
We understand. Leah made it very clear that you run the show there.
There's no doubt about it.
And so, we respect that, and we're waiting simply for the invitation.
We're waiting to be asked.
I'm asking you. You could have come out. You could come out any week. We'll put you on.
You tell us. You tell us, and we're there. You want us there next Friday? We'll be there next Friday.
That's it.
Next Friday, we're not taping.
All right.
That's a rough. So I want you next Friday.
All right. What about the Friday after next Friday?
That's fine. You want to come out?
Yeah. Is that when you tape on a Friday?
Yeah. We're going to tape. We usually do it. This week, we're taping on filming on Thursday. I say tape. It's film.
All right. Film. Hey, sorry.
All right. You're filming.
Excuse me, TV Big Shot. All right. Film.
So film. You want to say a week from Friday?
Well, let me see what the story is, and we can work in. Let me see what is the story.
You know, whenever it's, right. We will do it whenever it's convenient for you.
Oh, ASAP, though, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, all right.
If you guys want to do that, you fly out. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes,
oh, they know they got to fly themselves. We think I'm paying for this crap?
Our company will pay for it.
No, our company will pay for it.
And, you're on.
And if you don't mind, we can do the goddamn satellite thing, and we can get a show out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can broadcast.
Absolutely. It could be a spinoff, you know.
We mind if we broadcast from your set?
No, go nuts.
Okay. Excellent.
Beautiful, then.
Yeah, we could do it.
Although I don't know if I can approve that. Now I'm starting to approve things I can't do.
That's okay.
You do whatever you want. Go nuts.
Yeah, we'll turn it over to our producer, and we're jacked for
so
that.
So a week from Friday.
What?
A week from Friday?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, beautiful.
Fantastic.
Beautiful. Now, will we have lines, or will we just be standing around? It's okay if we're just standing around.
I think you're going to be standing around, to be honest with you.
That's okay.
Now, you know what? You guys, I'm going to make Leah cheat on me with you, too.
Oh.
That's the reason.
Do not tease us like that.
Don't tease us, but we know
like
you're...
That, wouldn't you, little?
We know you're a brilliant writer.
And, yeah.
You know, with the stroke of your pen, even half a sentence would be good.
You should know how she was kissing your ass when we were talking to her about the show.
Absolutely.
No, you should hear all the stuff she says. No. Kevin has the ideas. Kevin wants the characters to be more like this.
And we were saying, no. He's a big shot Hollywood star. He couldn't care less about you or anybody else.
But she said, no, Kevin leads all the writers. Kevin decides what the episodes are going to be about. Kevin.
Oh,
wants...
no way. It's no, the writing. It's the get out of here. I'm telling you, it's the writing.
I'm telling you, she was kissing your ass, man. It's good.
She just does that because she's trying to be nice now to make up for trashing me on your show. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, you should be very, very happy, man. You guys,
thanks.
You guys should be on top of the world. You know, you lead off the mighty CBS Monday lineup.
That's what I'm happy about. We're doing good for 8 o'clock. So.
And furthermore, when you were in New York, did you happen to see how many goddamn bus signs you're on?
I know.
Everywhere in New York.
I get drunk and one. I just thought that'd be cool.
Now that, you've arrived when you do that.
Yes. I'm serious. They're all over Manhattan. Everywhere. Kevin's face, Leah's face, everywhere. Not to mention those huge billboards that we saw out there in Southern California.
Yeah, Tommy Fatface. That's what I call myself on that one. Nice shot they put up there. Thank you.
Now, listen, the episode you ran last night where you thought that Leah might be a lesbo?
Yeah.
Right? Now, was that your brainchild?
I didn't think she was a lesbo. They thought you were a lesbo in last night.
Her lesbian.
That's what I was worried about.
Wasn't that what I saw in the paper yesterday? Leah's, Carrie's lesbian lover?
Yeah, well, yeah. You thought that she might have those leanings.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's...
But it was fun. I don't know if I'd mind it so much.
I was going to say, that's very smart. That's shrewd writing to work lesbianism in the show.
I know.
Absolutely.
That's not my work as a pen.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm in there, but the geniuses.
Well, we know that
the staff and writing crew of the King of Queens. All right, we'll call you tomorrow. They're yelling at me because I got to get into this.
All right. Put her on.
I'm serious. We will work that out. You come out. You come on the show. All right?
Listen, hold on. A week from Friday, we'll be there.
All right. Hold on a second. Leah wants to say hello.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Leah, stop kidding. A week from Friday.
Oh, really?
Now we're gonna have to tell her to make
sure.
Hi,
you guys.
Hey, listen.
What?
Make sure Mr. Big Shot doesn't forget. He just promised we could be on your show.
I heard it all. You have it on tape, yeah?
A week from Friday.
All right.
Yeah, we've got it.
All right. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. How are you with those ratings?
Pretty damn happy, boy.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear.
Very good.
Maybe I could get some cushions now on those metal chairs you sit in them.
That would be wonderful. I would, because I have just recovered from my injury.
Hey, you have that tic-tac-toe design on your ass?
You know how sick this is? Do you know that at 9 o'clock this morning, you know that I called to get your ratings?
Thank you, sweetie.
I called to get your ratings. A show that I have nothing to do with. I was absolutely... On edge getting your ratings.
Honey, thank you so much.
You guys did great.
Thank you.
Great numbers.
Oh, what did we do? We're calling you tomorrow?
Yeah, he said you guys are calling tomorrow, so call tomorrow.
I will.
Call tomorrow. We'll work out the details for our walk-on.
I know.
We're very excited about that.
We have to work it out.
Yeah, okay. We understand
he
that.
He promised us.
I think this should be a lengthy discussion.
He promised us next Friday.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Hold on. Your number two biggest fan wants to talk to you, okay? Hold on. Chuck. Chuck, go ahead. Can you pick that up, Chuck?
Hello?
There you go.
Okay, well, that's it. I mean, I think that's it.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's a little different with all this, you know. He's a little fed up with all this. You can really tell by the tone, you know. Yeah, all right, yeah. Yeah, so he's trying desperately to still be funny. He's like, okay, we gotta go.
Yeah.
All right, but doesn't matter.
It's all right, he's loyal, man.
That's right, true. Absolutely.
Like I say, loyalty means everything to us.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to it.
Put us on your goddamn show.
And Leah sounded giddy that you were coming back out there again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
We're very, very excited.
Right. My red hot celeb.
Mm-hmm. Flying out to L.A. Filming the show.
That's right. Doing a little walk-on.
There you go. You'll be dreaming tonight.
you bet I will.
I like dreaming.
Okay, well, tentatively next Friday, then.
There you go.
A week from Friday, we're all going out to the left coast.
Absolutely. Cool.
To do a little quick shot on King of Queens.
Yeah, because, it's kind of L.A. stars that we are.
That's because we're so friggin' happening.
Just think of those $2.50 checks we'll get for the rest of our lives again.
That's true.
I'm so excited.
Why do I think that it's not going to happen?
I'm almost sure that it will not happen a week from Friday.
As quickly as we want it to?
Because, you know, I think that they're going to... They'll be... I really do think it'll happen. I just don't think it's going to happen with that timetable. And I also, unfortunately, don't think that we're going to get any kind of lines or anything like that, but I think we should continue to push and press the issue.
Hey, Charlie Broyhill, come here. I see you just got off the line with lovely Leah.
Don't forget, you're going to have a live audience when you do this, too. So, you know, that may work to your advantage.
Right. Yeah, it gets thrown off a lot.
So when you talk to her,
yes,
how serious did she seem about us coming out there a week from Friday?
Pretty serious.
Pretty serious?
Yeah. I'm going to talk to her again on Monday about finalizing the whole trip.
Oh, good. Now, are they calling tomorrow for
yes.
some reason? Why are they
for
calling tomorrow?
They were doing a run-through today and had to go.
Okay. All right, good. Well, you know what? Right, tomorrow when they call, we'll just put the screws on them about getting us our walk on a week from Friday.
That's very cool.
Cool. All right. Thank
very,
you.
Very exciting.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay.
You two boys, you're both starving for her affections, aren't you?
We are.
I can tell you guys behave yourselves.
We are.
Okay, and I hope the fight continues.
Yeah.
Because then they'll battle, and then...
I'm sure she likes me better than you, Charlie.
And then one man will be...
I'm positive she likes me better
than you. What I was going to say is one man will be left standing.
I'm positive.
You two will just cancel each other out.
You know what?
She'll run to me.
You have Mark Brunell, you can have her.
Okay, thanks.
Wow.
Thanks. You know, there again, the Broyhill logic.
I don't understand that.
And then he says something like that, stupid. And he looks at me like, I put you in your place.
Could that be, is it a fantasy reference?
I don't know.
What he's doing?
Who knows?
Of Broyhill. I mean, Broyhill is the only person here that will say many things to me, and I have no idea what he's talking about.
Who the hell knows? All right, well, thank you to Kevin and Leah. And as we mentioned, their show's kicking ass in the numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, Don.
Hi, buddy.
Mike.
Hey.
How's everything going? Sounds like you're going to make it to the show.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe so.
Maybe, Don, you'll be Kevin's brother.
Hmm. I don't know.
I'd like to play his brother.
I imagine that...
I'd like to play his brother because if either one of us played a relative of Kevin's, that meant that there could be possibly a love interest with Leah.
I think that most likely we will be...
Listen to us. You know, we're turning into a dynasty. Hello, I'm home.
I think most likely we'll probably be filler guys like in the pizza place.
Right.
Well, maybe you can do a radio show from the pizza place.
And I probably have a better chance of being Jerry Stiller's lover than I do of being Leah Remini's lover.
Excuse me, a role that I would relish. Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Hello, I love you. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you guys that you're absolutely right about everything. I never saw that show, King of Queens, till I, you know, heard you guys having Leah Remini and Kevin James on. I watched it last night. It's now one of my favorite shows, and I really think they owe you a lot for giving you the exposure that they're getting. I just think it's great.
Save this tape, and we'll bring it with us.
Yeah.
Ma'am, that is a winner of a phone call.
No, did you see the little peach shirt she was wearing last night?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
with the low cut.
The little fashion tip.
Yeah.
My boyfriend was going crazy. Mm-hmm. I think the show's hilarious.
See, and that's what she brings to the table. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to gush.
You are rapidly approaching
my fixation with
her.
I am trying
to be as detached as I can, but I will tell you, it's the combination of haughtiness and the fact that she is extraordinarily funny. And when you stack her up against all the other sitcom wives and moms,
very
and stuff,
saucy.
She's totally a funnier lady.
However, you have to admit, last night, Raymond's wife did look pretty hot.
Oh, yeah.
She was wearing her hair a little different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she had that little, like, sweatshirt top on.
And mm-hmm. I think Raymond is a show, really, that has really hit its stride. I mean, it's every week. It's funny and funny. But, right.
but
King of Queens is still, I
yeah,
think, the best is yet
Gia
to come.
She had the worst day of her life, and she came home and said, oh, it's just the worst day I've ever had. And she still looked hot. She looked like a stripper. She was so hot.
Yeah, I got to think that, you know, when she's taking a she looks hot.
Yeah.
Really, I mean that.
But I just wanted to thank you, and I will continue taking your opinions about everything because I had my doubts, but you're absolutely right, and they owe you a lot. Mr. Hollywood Big Shot owes you a lot because I'm very cynical.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that.
And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because they were obviously in a rehearsal there,
right.
And they had to go. And I think when she said that, that confirmed it. So he was just rushing to get off the phone.
Oh, right.
He doesn't hate us as much as I think he might right now.
He's being more humble now.
Right.
So.
I think he hates us. I think he hated us all along. But
husky,
you know,
and
play along.
And he says, am I like that guy? But I think Kevin James is cute. I like the husky build.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you,
Don and Mike. I love you.
Love you. Love you more.
Bye.
Very, very exciting.
Right.
I have to run out tonight and get another black T-shirt.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike and Mike.
Is this your guy?
Oh, man.
A new twist.
That's your guy, Mike.
Yeah, he's a little late today, actually. Those are the two brothers, the Schwenge brothers, usually call within 10 seconds of each other.
Yeah, but the theory about them being the same guy now...
Maybe he's onto that.
...has got to be broken. Yeah, or
mm-hmm.
or he knows that we are wise to his
right.
gig.
Or they both have perfect pitch.
Hello, John and Mike show.
Hey, guys, it's Scooter Mobile.
Scooter from Mobile.
Scooter.
Hi, Scooter.
How y'all doing?
Scooter.
If they win the Academy Award, they ought to give y'all's name on that award.
Yes, when King of Queens, the television show, wins the Academy Award.
The Emmy Award.
Right.
Your name on that award.
The Emmy
Thank
Award.
You, Scooter.
That's fantastic. How you doing, Scooter?
Taking care of Mom.
Oh, excellent.
How is Mom doing?
She's doing a lot better.
Good.
Good. Hey, Scooter, who won the World Series in 1968?
Detroit.
Who'd they beat?
St. Louis.
Who won the World Series in 1975?
Your Red Sox lost to the Cincinnati Reds.
That's right.
Who won the World Series in 1986?
Unfortunately, the Red Sox lost to the New York Mets in 86.
And now I am so completely depressed,
who
I don't want to ask Scooter any more questions.
Who won the World Series in 1945?
The last time the Cubs won it, they lost to Detroit.
Scooter, who won the who won the World Series in 1918?
The last time the Red Sox won it, 1918 over the Cubs.
Yeah, big blow. Wow.
See, this is a guy, Scooter. He's like Rain Man with sports stuff.
He is indeed. Who was the MVP of the Super Bowl in 1983?
1983, Joe Theismann lost to the Raiders at Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen. Who was the MVP of the Super Bowl 20?
That would be the Patriots lost to the Bears, Richard Dent.
Richard Dent was the MVP.
Yes, he was. Who was the MVP of Super Bowl 3?
Joe Namath from Alabama.
Super Bowl 4.
Lenny Dawson from Kansas City.
Super Bowl 5.
His team lost to Baltimore, but Chuck Howley of Dallas.
What number was Chuck Howley?
54.
He's a genius.
Wow. That is pretty amazing.
Wow. Who was the MVP of Super Bowl 17?
John Riggins of the Washington Redskins.
What was Richard Dent's number?
Number 47.
No! 95.
Now you can't win them all.
All right. Thank you, Scooter.
Hey, I love you, man.
Word to your mother. Love you, Scooter.
Rob, have you gotten your gift from Scooter?
No. Of his gift.
What?
I sent Rob his gift.
Oh, you're lying now, Scooter. Rob has never received his gift from
He's
you.
He's going to get his gift when I get my birthday gift.
Uh-huh.
What did you want for your birthday, Scooter?
A picture of you, Rob.
Yeah. Rob, you got a stack of those in your desk drawer.
Did you want the color or the black and white?
It doesn't matter. I'm the biggest Rob H.B. Wack fan in Mobile, Alabama.
There you go. See, yeah. He loves you, man.
Well, the biggest contact. Rob H.B. Wack fan in Mobile, Alabama.
And we'll send a charcoal sketch to you for that.
All right. Can I ask Rob a trivia question?
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead.
School, did Rob go to high school at?
Madison High School.
What was the name of your team's nickname?
The Warhawks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Scooter.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Scooter.
It was very confusing. I was beginning to get vertigo. Very, very strange.
I got it.
Scooter, now he's going to do all of the research on your high school team, Rob.
He will.
And no,
he
Scooter. Will.
Scooter from Mobile.
The Warthogs.
Hey, Bob's doing better. You know, normally that's the reason that he says Rob hasn't gotten his gift yet.
Because he's taking care of his mom.
And Bob's not feeling well.
Yeah, that's right. A very scary thought in and of itself.
We'll be back with more right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I stopped smoking cigarettes.
Oh, good.
Isn't that something? I'm on to cigars now. Yeah, I'm onto a 5-year plan. I eliminated the cigarettes, then I go to cigars, then I go to pipes, then I go to chewing tobacco, then I'm onto that nicotine gum. Yeah.
Money. I'll leave you blank checks.
Oh, no, please. I've got lots of money. I won't have any problem cashing a second party out-of-state paycheck, will I? The reason I'm saying is I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to do my banking, and I don't think it'll be a problem. Don't worry
Let
about
me
it.
Just leave you the checks.
Well, only if it's comfortable for you.
That'll be easier.
I guess, sure. Do you have a plunger here while I'm thinking of these things for the morning? You know, my plumbing is just so bad. Well, of course, yours is a good plumbing here, right? Yeah, I would imagine. Yes, don't worry about it. You know, everything will be fine. Just been bound up lately. It's driving me crazy. I've been eating a lot of cheese for some reason. I don't know what it is. I got a craving for this stuff. I think maybe that's an allergy or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't get enough cheese. I feel like a big mouse.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass, The Don and Mike Show.
Do you know that that I had a situation where somebody called me from one of those collection places, and my wife had used a check in the grocery store, and there were insufficient funds in the account, and it was a check for something like $25, and the guy, this guy, apparently it went in within 3 days, it went into this this place, mm-hmm. and the guy calls me up, and he says, "Hi, hello, Michael." And I, you know, as soon as I hear that, I say to myself, "Oh, this is crap.
Somebody
is
working you.
This is total crap. Yeah. Right? There's no way." He said, "We have a check for such and such amount that was cashed at such and such and sent back for insufficient funds." I said, "Well, I have overdraft protection. That shouldn't have happened." "Well, it did, sir." And, you know, I said, "Oh, come on." He said, "No, it did, sir. Please, it's very early." And I said, "Well, I think that," and we went round and round, and I finally said, "Oh, no, come on, I think you're lying." "Well, if you think I'm lying, sir, then I'm going to swear out a warrant for your arrest."
Oh, man.
Do you know...
Was the guy on the level?
The guy was totally on the level, and that I actually had to get my lawyer to call this guy, and that the guy at the store actually complained because he's done this to other people, too, and the person I talked to said that these guys are kind of like cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
And that they really have the protection of whatever they have, their organization, and they can say something like that. And it was really a bad morning when this happened, and it was for $24, and it was like, "Well, I will swear out a warrant for you," and I couldn't believe it. I was so... And that was it, and I couldn't believe my ears.
You know
really.
What? I'm so glad that I'm where I am now, technology-wise, with money, mm-hmm. that now I'm 40, and I'm making enough money that I'm not broke all the time, mm-hmm. because if I was broke all the time now...
Oh, they have people that are horrible.
Like I was back 20 years ago.
Like right. I am now.
I wouldn't be able to survive, because you know how I used to really get by, and a lot of people used to do this on the weekend. I used to go from grocery store to grocery store, mm-hmm. where I would float checks that I knew had no chance of ever being good. But if you went to a grocery store on a Saturday...
Because you blazed the trail for innocent people like me.
Well, no, you bounced the check.
No,
Mike.
I didn't bounce the check.
Your wife bounced the check.
Well, but we are supposed to have overdraft protection.
Okay, did the check bounce?
The check had insufficient funds.
Touché.
Yes, it did. Okay, thanks.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Listen, but weren't you ever in this situation? It was Saturday. No banks were open on Saturday. There's no such thing as an ATM 20 years ago.
Right,
but if you wanted money, what you had to do is go to a grocery store, because you could go to the
cash to check.
The little checkout area,
right.
and you could write a personal check for $25.
Right.
I would spend all day Saturday driving like to 8 different grocery stores
right.
to cash these checks. And of course they'd bounce.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible.
But back in those days, they would just call you up and they'd go, "Hey, you know what? Your check bounced." And right. you know what? You'd say, "Oh, darn it, I forgot to make a deposit."
Right.
"Could you send it through again?" Because you would know, and anybody that's lived check to check, which right. I did for the longest amount of time, because I worked at a lot of radio stations where I would make, you know, between $90 and $150 a week.
Sure. I know what you're talking about.
Making no money. That you knew that if you could buy an extra week, mm-hmm. that you would get paid before that check had time to go through again. Now you couldn't do it, because now it's electronic.
Right. Right.
Now they get the check, and they key in a number, and they know right away if you've got the money. Same thing with credit cards.
Well, this guy that did this apparently has done this to other people in similar situations, and what happened was that we told the circumstances to the owner of the store, who we know because, you know, I live in Hooterville, and the guy actually put in a complaint to this guy that had done it by the way he handled it, there was never anything. What he was doing was well within the boundaries of
sure,
the law.
Right.
He can say whatever he wants to say about that, and it's just incredible yeah. what they, you know, over a $24 check, what they were saying, and what apparently as soon as I said, you know, I thought the guy was working me because I knew nothing about this check, and I said, "Oh, you're lying." And they said, "Well, if you think I'm lying, sir, I will be swearing out a warrant for your arrest."
So the crap detector is infallible.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I was having a bad day.
It's similar to what Don used to do. Now, I never did this in college, but if you needed to buy a pizza, and you
didn't please, be honest, Rob.
All right,
come
all
on.
The time.
Just,
you know, the computer numbers in the bottom of a check, it's like a strip of almost boxy-looking numbers.
Right.
If you fill in the 8s or the 9s, it can't go through
on your first scan, and they'll have to scan again 5 days later.
It's true, though.
I've heard of that scam before.
Is it still true to this day?
Yeah, well, it's true as of 1993.
I bet now, though.
It just slows the process.
I would bet with technology now, though, they just key the numbers into a computer, and they can see how much money you have.
Well, it just makes you realize how fragile we all are in the system. I mean, it really is. You never know when the system's just going to, all of a sudden, you're going to get into the mechanism, and it's going to, you know, it's going to start nipping at your heels.
You know what else used to be great when I was broke all the time?
What?
Damn, I'm so glad I'm living now instead of then, because with credit cards, before the advent of phone lines and computers, the only way they would check a credit card when you went into a store was with a book.
Right.
They had a book where they had numbers of like people that had charged the max and not paid their bills.
Right. Absolutely.
So as long as you hadn't done the worst thing imaginable, run your card all the way to the limit and not pay any money at all, you could just keep going in and charging and charging and charging your brains out.
Right.
And I used to do that. And now I think about that. Now I think that used to be high drama.
Mm-hmm.
I'd stand in the store and she'd go to pick up the book and I'd think, oh, is my number going to be in there? And then it would be like, nope, this card's great. And how I used to sweat that out.
Right. You know, the thing I was going to say is after all this, too, once I realized it was a legitimate call, and I looked at the little piece of paper that says we have overdraft protection to such and such amount, you know, and it was really, I think the amount is $17 million, actually. I called, and that was the real happy call that I said. You know, I said, is there any particular reason? No, there's not. Sometimes the computer makes a mistake. I'm like, thank you so much. Meanwhile, you know, I've got Inspector Gadget on my front porch, you know, going, we want that $24 or you're going to the pokey, Michael. That's right, get in the paddy wagon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Christy. I'm calling from Severna Park, Maryland.
Yes, ma'am.
I work for a bank, and I just want to let you know, people still do that all the time.
Now, how could they do that? You mean like go to a grocery store and bounce a $25 check?
Yeah, because most stores, very, very few stores, scan checks. So you can go to a grocery store on a Saturday, and you're guaranteed, first of all, that the check won't clear until Monday night. So you can go in on a Saturday, take all that money, make a deposit on Monday, and it will clear your check on Monday night.
That's exactly what my wife was doing.
Here's what I don't get. All the grocery stores have ATMs, though.
Nope.
Why wouldn't... the modern grocery stores all have ATMs.
The store that we were in did, has, really. I mean, they ought to have a fireplace in the middle of it.
But if you're even in a remotely modern grocery store, they have an ATM. So in those cases, in the stores that do have the ATMs, why would they even cash the check? Why would you just say to somebody, you could take the card from your account and go right there to the ATM.
Well, can't you go to the big grocery stores now, write a check, and ask for more cash when you're paying by check?
Yeah, people you can.
Do that. That makes me wonder, actually, why with check cards and electronic payment, why people do that at all. Why we have to wait, especially if you're in the 11 items or less line, and you have to wait for 6 hours while somebody gets their change purse out and then writes the check along with it.
Not everybody has a check card. A lot of people don't trust them, especially older people.
Exactly.
Well, that's why older people, Buzz, someday when I'm king, all of these problems with older people will be eliminated. They won't be driving.
Right.
They won't be shopping.
Hi, this is Surf.
They won't be doing radio shows.
But reassure them, they will be taken care of.
Oh, no, they'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
They will love the camp that I put them in. The rest home.
Uh-huh. Oh God!
It'll be a prison with no walls.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Compassionate.
I'm gonna hook them all up with the electric collar. Oh. You know, the electric.
So
pen.
If they run past the barbed wire, their heads will explode.
For their own good.
I understand.
Right. Right. Yeah. Just. You know, keep them in there where they can't cause trouble for those of us that are still vibrant, young, productive members of society.
That is correct. And then by the time, once you become king, you know, even when you become a senior citizen, you'll be king, so they won't be able to do anything to you.
Correct.
You'll have total freedom, and you'll be the only older person that's able to drive and eat what he wants.
And so will my friends, Mike.
Thank you.
Keep
buddy.
That in mind.
Thank you very much.
I told you all along with my plan to phase older people out of our society, I told you all along, your mom will get special treatment.
Oh, that's
thank you,
nice.
Thank you. And I hope I do someday, too. Hey, look at this. Great tea time. Nobody in front of us.
Oh, you got it, Mike.
Oh, man, yesterday on any golf course I want.
You got it.
Hi, I'm here. King's friend. Let me on.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Hey, buddy.
Favorite show going today.
Hello, my friend.
Hey, there's a different hack for checks besides the one Rob A. was talking about filling in the numbers.
Yeah.
If they're the place you're cashing them at, it's using an optical.
You know, can I stop you for just a second? And just out of idle curiosity, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, whether our standards and practices are going to come down here and say, you know, that day that you did a half an hour on how to write illegal checks, you know, I don't know whether that's going to be.
Right.
I don't know whether that really is the soundest.
This is not illegal.
Hold on.
Doesn't this sound like one of those guys that goes on, like, how to protect yourself on those TV shows
yeah.
and his face is all obscured?
Yeah, all right. Let me take another call.
A cat burglar for 73 years.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hi. We're doing great, thank you.
Is Rob A. in the room?
Yeah, he sure is.
I just want to let you guys know that the Bureau does listen, and not that he's guilty of that, but that check belongs to the banking institution that is drawn on.
What's illegal, sir? I made good on it.
In most states.
There was just a smear on it. I don't know how it happened.
You can check with your buddy G. Gordon Liddy, but there's no statute of limitation on bank fraud.
It's not bank fraud. I was hungry.
Listen to how high his voice went.
It's not bank fraud.
I was hungry. I have another question for Rob A.
Rob, the agent wants to speak with you.
Rob, all right.
Yeah, go ahead. He's here for your questions, sir.
This is off the subject. Was your father a teacher?
Are you thinking about Bruce or Dave?
I don't know.
I had two uncles who were teachers.
Well, it was Bruce, I think, Falls Church High School.
Yeah, Bruce. He's now attending bar in Hawaii.
That's
true.
All right, thank you, my friend. Please.
You're very welcome. Be careful.
Please. Go easy on Rob.
Let's be careful out there.
He's a good fellow.
He couldn't survive prison.
No, he couldn't.
No, I'm afraid I'd have to kill myself.
He would be someone's bitch in the first 5 minutes.
He would definitely be a bitch.
You know, sir, if you don't press charges, I'll be your bitch.
That was a long time ago. I had to eat. I was hungry.
And boy, did he have to eat.
Oh.
You know, I mean, that's not the average college student's food intake, believe you me.
Hello.
You know, when you go to college and you see those little mini refrigerators that the kids have? Yeah. You know, Rob had an actual restaurant-sized freezer in his dorm room.
And in case any agents are listening, I would just like to point out that for the record...
Yes.
All I did was float a couple of checks.
That's right.
Always made them good.
And I have made good my situation as well. You know, and you know, there's nothing like calling your favorite attorney when you have a situation like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing like a $24 check costing you $500.
All right, here's a guy who works for a collection service, Robert.
Yes, how you doing?
I just want to say something.
Collection service for about 6 years.
I want to say something to you and any other collection people that are listening right now. You are the lowest.
Yep.
Of the low, scummier, an awfuler job. I cannot. How you can sleep at night, I don't know. I hate collection people. I hate your tactics.
Bravo!
You're all sons of bitches.
Bravo!
And I wish you'd all just walk off the face of the earth.
Bravo!
I'm serious. You have no conscience. You have no soul.
Right.
Oh, damn collection people. I hate them. I hate collection people.
Very good.
Thank you. With that,
what can we do for you?
With that said, I no longer work in the collection business, but I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew that it's illegal to threaten somebody with jail or a warrant.
No, it's not.
It is very illegal.
No, it's not. Not if it's legit.
Check the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
You know something? I will check into that, because I'll tell you one thing right now. I don't think it is. I think there is they can say things a certain way and get away with it.
How collection people can look themselves in the mirror in the morning is beyond me.
Amazing.
I really mean that. I swear to God I do. The stop slow guys, whose balls I bust all the time, you know, at least they're not hurting anybody out
right,
there.
True.
Okay?
I'll tell you, I'm going to find out if that's illegal, because if it is illegal, I'm going to
You'll be very shocked, I promise.
Well, I'll also be very angry. You know,
oh,
I really will.
Too.
I'll be angry that I brought in an attorney to help me on this matter.
Will your voice go up?
I'll go, why didn't you know about that? I was hungry. I believe that was the first question I asked. Hey, is that legal? And the answer was yes.
No, it is by far not. And just
oh, what do you know? You're a former collection guy.
Yeah, former.
Listen, I don't care. How long? You say you were one for 6 years?
About 6 years, yes.
Oh, enjoy your time in hell. You're going to hell when you die. Those people, listen, they're the worst.
Right.
Collection people are the worst. And I know we've all been on the other side of those calls mm-hmm. where the people call, and you just want someone just not to bust your chops. I mean,
right.
You know the visa bill is late. You know that the house payment is late. Mm-hmm. Just call up and say, hey, you know what? Hi, it's me. Your payment's late. Can you make a payment?
And this guy was such a to me that
they're
I actually...
always huge.
I thought it was a crank. I really did. It was that bad that I actually thought it was a crank, but it wasn't a crank.
A pox on you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I hate all collection people. Oh, no conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Hello,
sure.
Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I'm familiar with that Fair Debt Collection Practices Act as well. And that guy's full of baloney. If it's a criminal violation of writing a bad check, they
right.
can threaten you with arrest.
Absolutely. And I bet they wait for, you know, opportunities like that.
No, they probably do. But if it's a civil dispute where you owe money to a department store, no, they cannot threaten you with arrest. But a bad check, they sure can.
Yep.
Here's a lawyer, Mike. John from D.C. Johnny.
That guy was pretty much right, your previous caller. Writing a bad check is a crime.
And they can, and they probably get real excited because they can say that without any kind of,
right.
you know.
There's a gray area because writing a bad check is a crime. Telling somebody that if they don't pay you a debt, you're going to make sure they go to jail is extortion.
Hmm.
Even if they overlap. In other words, let's say somebody was driving drunk and hit you. And you say, I'm going to report you for driving drunk if you don't pay me for the damage you did, legitimate damage, and they owe you the money. If you make that threat, that's extortion.
That's right.
You know what's a big gray area? Is right between Beatrice Arthur's navel and her knees. That's a huge gray. I mean, as long as we're talking about gray areas.
Yeah, and real gray, too.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
It's John here.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, the reason why we don't go to ATMs is because they charge you arm and leg for to get your money out.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why you should either go to a bank that has a million different locations.
Right.
Or just take the time to go to the bank. I agree. You get raped that way, too. When you go to a cash machine to get $20, and they want to charge you like $250.
And who does the accounting on that?
That is crazy, man.
Who does the accounting on that, whatever that charge is, that little nominal charge
anyway.
That adds up so much in a lifetime?
And you know what it costs the bank to give you that money out of the machine? It costs them nothing.
Nothing at all.
Absolutely nothing.
Not only that, though, the vendor's making money, too.
Right.
Right, that's right. Whoever has the machine in their shop is making money.
Yep. A quarter or 50 cents a transaction, and then the bank gets the rest.
$250?
Yeah, I used to sell ATM machines, that's why.
See you at Disney World.
I'd love to sell ATM machines.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
About these, the thing to do in the 90s is to go to Walmart. And you buy, like, Dr. Thunder for a dollar, and you can get cash with your debit card.
You buy what for a dollar?
You buy Dr. Thunder. That's their brand of, like, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
Dr. Thunder?
Like, 89 cents, and then you can use your debit card and get cash.
Have you ever tried Dr. Thunder?
Never. Mike, I don't like the offline cola brand.
I know. You're really a brand guy all the way.
I got to have my brand name soda pop. I like brand name everything.
I understand that.
Even though I know, and we've had this argument with people before on the show, that when you take away the wrappers, they're all pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
I can taste the difference between, like this guy says, like a Dr. Thunder and a Dr. Pepper.
Absolutely. That's why I like at Walmart the 6-Up, the lemon lime soda, and then the Sun Frenched, the orange soda.
You know what I don't understand? How come Dr. Pepper doesn't sue Walmart for copyright infringement? Because
right.
I've seen the soda this guy's talking about in Walmart.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know that the packaging is the same. It's got that same maroon-orange color as Dr. Pepper.
Well, isn't Dr. Pepper the same as Mr. Pibb, too, basically?
Yeah.
I think they're made by the same company.
Yeah, same flavor.
One's Pepsi.
Dr. Thunder may be made by the makers of Dr. Pepper, which is why they don't sue.
Oh, and not only is the color the same on the bottle, but the writing's the same. The way that the script says Dr. Pepper, it says Dr. Thunder the same way.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the imitation Yoo-Hoo's name is.
You don't want to know.
You know what really sucks? A Safeway brand cola.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had Cragmont cola, there's a reason.
Spoken like a man who grew up with Cragmont.
There is a reason when you go to Safeway and they have the Coke machine out front of the store where you can buy a brand name Coca-Cola for a dollar and you can buy a Safeway brand cola for 25 cents.
The reason being?
The Safeway cola tastes like something that comes out of your...
Mommy, it tastes like metal.
Awful.
Mm-hmm. Hold up, one more call. Here's Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hey, you're complaining about collections agencies, huh?
Yeah.
But the thing is, my aunt works for one, and what she does is she has y'all pay a bit every now and then. That way you don't get in trouble. You just make a monthly payment. I understand what you're going through because I've been through the same situation, but...
Well, I wouldn't say I'm currently going through it now. I'm reliving my memories from my past.
And living vicariously through me, who still is in dire straits.
Yeah. I like all my money problems were BF before freedom.
Yeah, that's right.
True.
Well, this guy hung up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, typical. Right. Son of a collection agent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What a son of a collection agent.
Last call. Here's a guy who says he bounced a check to the IRS.
Oh, God.
Hello,
death wish.
Mark, did you really do that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, guess what?
What?
Nothing happened.
Really?
Yeah, back when I wasn't making a whole lot of money and, heavens, I don't know. I just sit down enough in the shingle. It wasn't intentional.
Somebody call you real nice and say, hey, can you make good on this check?
No, they didn't even call.
Really?
No, I just I probably wrote another one, but, it came back and, NSF.
But you had to throw away a full set of underwear.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
We're up on a break and we will be back. Bye-bye after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now I can teach you how you're supposed to say jive.
Dad, please just drive the car, Dad.
I'm watching the road, sweetie. You jive, turkey. See? You got to sass it. Quit jiving me, turkey. You got to sass it. A turkey is a bad person.
This way comes the Don and Mike Show.
We must call.
Kevin and Leah.
Okay.
I know it appears desperate.
It does.
But we must do it.
Well, you know, we got to do what we got to do. It's not desperate. The deadline approaches. Both sides have already agreed it's going to be a week from Friday.
The deadline approaches.
Both sides agreed to talk by phone today.
Otherwise, you will be dipped in red hot magma.
I say we ask for her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good idea.
Ask for her.
Absolutely. Stage, we got the stage. Okay.
Yes, is Leah there, please? Yeah, it's Don and Mike.
We're on the air. Okay, now this might be the first disappointment. I just have a feeling. She's right over there right now. This is like, I can't talk to him right now.
I think so.
It could be. She's very loyal.
I agree that it appears desperate on our part.
She's very loyal, though. She's
but they did
loyal.
Say they'd call today.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, almost the end of the show.
I know, I just, you know, now it's so important for us to do
well,
this.
Well, we can't hang up now.
No. It's so important to do this walk-on. You know, I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm nervous.
Well.
I'm very nervous about this.
She'll pick up the phone. She'll cup her hand, her delicate hand over the phone
right.
while she says bad stuff about us so we right. won't hear it.
Of course.
This is quite a wait now.
Yeah, it's very quiet. Quite a wait. So we're waiting to see. Tell them to wait. Jesus. They're calling again. Kevin, they're calling you. I know. What is the deal? They're calling.
They're your deal. You brought them to your house.
I know, but I thought that maybe if I did that, they'd go away, and now they
Hello?
Just keep calling, and it's terrible.
Hello? For another minute? We don't want to bother her.
Would we be, let me ask you just honestly, would we be considered pests if we asked to speak with her? Be honest with me.
Well, listen, here's, could you do this? If she could be done in a minute, when she gets done, will you tell her that Don and Mike called? Because yeah. she told us she would call us today.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's, you know what, that's the cool way to handle
thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Then, you know, ball in her court.
Right. Yeah. And tell her, you know, good luck with the show.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks so much. Goodbye. Very good. Well handled. Well handled, Don.
Thank you, Mike.
Very cool. If she calls or if she doesn't call, it's still in her court, and we, you know, we respect that. Because
I'll give her 10 minutes, and then we call back.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I always cave on this.
Desperate on this.
I always cave. 10 minutes, and we call back.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
no.
Yes. I have something that will take your mind off this while we're waiting.
Very good.
For the 10 minutes to pass for us to call Leah.
Excellent.
We're going to watch a video.
Which one are we watching first?
We are watching the video of girls busting balloons with their bare butts.
Excellent.
And we want to give a plug to, let me see, to Bare Naked Bottoms and Bare Balloon Babes on the web at www.bestbuns.net.
Fantastic.
If you would like to order this video, we received a letter from
Rob,
from the people who put it together. What's he turning the lights down in
He's
here?
He's turning them down, but he always turns them down, but he was doing that in a very... Yeah, bring him up again and show him the way you were doing it.
How are you
just
doing
so
it?
He can see.
Hey, sex time.
Nixie.
All right, we were very let down by the video we watched last week of girls catfighting.
That
right?
was just horrible. I don't like watching girls do that anyway, and it was just gross.
All right, here is the cover mic. Bare Balloon Babes number 10.
Now this to me looks like good clean fun.
Let me join you in the viewing room.
Shocker on that one, Buzz.
This is a tape for guys who have balloon fetishes.
Very good.
Guys that like watching girls bust balloons with their bare butts.
We'll know very soon what kind of quality we're dealing with here.
Let me fast forward.
Very good.
La la la.
La 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 la
la la la
la
la la la. I hope they didn't send us a blank tape.
Right.
No. Mature conduct, a content warning.
This program contains full nudity.
FBI warning.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Hello. All right.
We're off to a good start.
Very good.
Digitally mastered.
High quality picture and stereo sound. This is already ahead of the game. Now what do we have?
Now that we've completed Bare Balloon Babes 10,
we thought we would
look back at the girls,
the first nine Bare Balloon Babes videos.
It's already got better packaging than the other one.
Now that is a very attractive woman.
That's Aaron, Mike. That's Celine.
Mm-hmm.
These girls are hot.
They're
Trish.
Hot.
These girls are all wearing clothes, though.
Well, for now, until they start really breaking the balloon.
Stacy.
All right.
Sarah. Wow.
Hello, Sarah.
May.
Hi, May.
Jennifer.
It's kind of a best of, if you will. if you please.
These girls right now, Darby.
I didn't know they blew up their own balloons.
As we're watching this, these girls are all wearing lingerie. Carla, wow.
Fantastic.
Melissa.
Oh, she's making balloon animals. Now, I like this already.
She's making a balloon animal.
There you go.
Alaya. Anne.
You know, when they do this, this to me, I always count this as...
Michelle.
This is Video Phil. This is Video Phil.
Cheryl and Brenda. Well, now look, they're wearing clothes.
Yeah, they don't look that... Oh.
Celia.
She's blowing up her balloon.
Well, she sure is.
Oh, hello.
There's Dina.
Dina!
Hey, Dina with you. Tommy, how many girls are on this tape?
Enough to fill the whole tape so we only get one girl doing the actual breaking of the balloon.
All right, I'm going
to
fast forward.
Yeah, here. It's ridiculous.
So now all we're seeing is all these girls.
Okay,
thank you for supporting the best balloon babes.
All right.
Here we go.
Now something should be happening.
Letterbox.
More graphics.
Frasier Photography presents...
I'm listening.
A Cheryl Frasier production.
You know, Don, this is one that I actually have to put my feet up to watch.
Well, they do have the porno music. Starring Corey Lane.
Roxanne Bloom.
Bare Balloon Babes number 10.
Well, it seems to me there are just a limited number of babes in this Bare Balloon Babes 10.
Okay.
Inflation.
It looks like a porno.
There's a little glass of wine.
A flower. She's topless.
I think she is. No,
nope,
she's not.
She's wearing a bra.
She's blowing up the balloon right now.
She's just sitting in a chair blowing up balloons.
Absolutely. Well, she's going to blow them up so she can break them later. You know, do you get the impression they were laughing that time, saying, what kind of idiot would buy this? Now, for my money, the blowing up of the balloon.
Yeah, I'm going to fast forward, okay? We'll go past inflation.
Okay.
Because they're spending an awful lot of time just watching her inflate balloons.
All right. Now we have a little...
We have a phone call.
Okay, very good.
Hold on. We will break into our video. Hello, Leah.
I'm sorry to interrupt your very fascinating video.
We are watching a video right now, Leah, of girls breaking balloons with their butts.
I heard.
You never did that work early in your career, did you?
You know... That I did.
Listen, we didn't want to appear desperate.
Oh, know. Wait, I got to bring something up. How funny. Okay, what did you say to me yesterday? You go, your second fan, your second biggest fan wants to talk to you and then, yesterday, and then Charlie got on the phone?
Yeah. Right.
But now, am I wrong in saying that there's Don and Mike?
Mm-hmm.
That's one and two.
No. Actually...
Excuse me, talking. Then there's Rob...
Right.
Then there's Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, actually, the way that the pecking order has played out here for your affections is that me, Don, I'm looking at a picture of you right now to tell you how psychotic I am for
you. Right, right.
Then Charlie, who has you on a screensaver.
Now, wait a minute. I feel like I'm being sent to the wolves. Is that making me number three? You never verbalized that to me.
I would have to say, who's craziest about Leah?
I think that I am.
Oh, you absolutely not.
I believe I am. I frankly
you think you are
it.
Crazy about her than I am?
I think that I am. I just, you know what I do?
Have you dreamed about her?
You know what I do? When you two boys are fighting about her, I quietly sit back there and try desperately to impress her. Which I did when I was at her house.
When?
when you drank
when you
the wine?
When you were on your second bottle? Or?
Well, listen.
When you were looking at me cross-eyed, trying to focus?
You mean you weren't impressed by me?
I was a little impressed by you.
Suffice to say, listen.
The dearest thing.
Listen,
I didn't realize, you know what? You know what it is about you guys is that, you know, you hear, like, you have these personalities on TV or radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a sense of bull going on, right?
Right.
Because, you know, they're personalities. But I was so impressed with how close you guys really are.
Well,
you, Charlie, Rob, you know, everybody.
You know, it just shows our acting talents. We were all really pretending.
No.
Yeah, but listen, we are unified in this. We do love you. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, we do.
We are seriously in love with you.
You're the greatest.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
So much in love with you that when I, why is this, Leah? Why would I be upset when I'm reading this article about you in what is it, Redbook?
Yeah.
And it's a great article. Until I see his name.
Yes, the man.
Until I get halfway down and I see his name.
There it is. The boyfriend.
You know.
Oh, Angelo.
Angelo.
Oh, you like Angelo.
I know. I like him fine.
We all
you
do.
Like
we do like Angelo.
We like him fine.
But, you know, we can like a guy and still be insanely jealous.
You're not insanely jealous, and you know it, because you both have great wives, so don't even play.
Okay. Listen, my wife already knows that you will be my third wife.
Okay, good. Your future ex-wife.
Yeah.
Okay,
listen,
good.
Leah, here's why we...
Yes.
Oh, you in your dressing room?
Oh, look who walked in, Mr. Kevin James.
Oh, very exciting.
Uh-huh.
Very exciting.
Uh-huh.
Don't let on to him how desperate we are.
Okay.
You know we're very, very desperate for this.
About what?
This potential opportunity for a walk-on.
This is going to be fun. What do you guys want to do, though?
Okay. I would like to enlighten you as to one important fact.
Okay.
We should share with you and with Mr. James and with whoever is producing your fine show that Don and I are both dues-paying, card-carrying members of the Screen Actors Guild.
So now you want a line.
I'm just saying it. If it happened that way,
and someone said, "Hey, it's going to be too much of a hassle. They're not members of the union," but I just thought I'd share that with you.
But if it's just a walk on, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're down with that.
What do you think a walk on means?
That we are in a scene.
Right, but what do you think a walk on means? Because a walk on is kind of like where you come on and they go down.
No.
Here,
listen.
Let me
tell you something.
Like, you guys are in a pizza place or something?
And we're sitting at a table somewhere.
Right, that's all.
You know,
that's
eating.
It?
We're eating.
Unless you're willing to offer more.
We'd love more, but I mean, if that's what we're going to get, we would be more than happy. It's not like we're going to pitch a fit if we go in and we're like background characters sitting at a, you know, at a diner counter or something.
Right. Okay, good.
But
that's very easy to do. And Kevin said that that's very easy to do, and if Kevin said it, it's going to be done.
Okay, well then, here's our schedule. This is why we called today, even though it makes us appear desperate.
All right.
That our schedule is, next weekend would be best for us.
Right.
We could fly out Friday. We can bring our tape stuff.
Wait, next Friday?
Next Friday.
Wait a minute. Didn't Kevin tell you we're not up next Friday? Are we up next Friday, Kev? We're not up next Friday.
No, he told us you're on this Thursday.
We're on this Thursday, then we're up. Oh, we are on Friday.
Okay.
We are on Friday. We're not on Friday.
You are or you aren't?
We're trying to find out.
What is a hiatus? How could it be a hiatus?
Next week?
Yeah.
Very simple. We're in Florida.
Oh, that's right. No. Next week, I'm going to be in New York. Kevin's going to be in Florida.
Well, you know.
Right. No, because I talked to Charlie, and we told him that. It's the following week.
Okay, so
the following
week.
Friday.
All right, so the following Friday. Whenever it happens, our plan is... We'll fly out on Friday,
right?
We'll bring a tape recorder with us, a digital tape recorder.
Yeah.
We'll record a bunch of crap on the set.
Yeah.
Right? We'll talk to you guys. And we'll get a show that we can play on Monday. And we'll do the walk-on, whatever you celebrity folks call it, on Friday night on your show.
Believe me, you know, we will take any crumb you wish to throw us.
Okay, good.
That is really, I mean, yeah, it's cool for us to be part of that.
No, it's going
to
be fun.
It'll be great for our show. It'll be great for your show.
The crummiest of the crumbs.
That's what?
We'll take the crummiest of your crumbs.
Absolutely.
No. We're going to do, what?
I just see these actors in that role. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, we want it to be good. We want it to be a good... We don't want them to be like in the background, like where you can't even see them.
We'll do whatever you want to do our way.
Whatever.
We're very excited about it, and it'll be, you know, it's all we're going
to
talk about.
No, Kevin wants to make sure that you guys are, like, in there.
We certainly didn't think a walk-on would be, hey, who's at the door? And we'd come through, you know, through the scene, like with Jerry Stiller or something like that.
Right. All right.
Who's laughing, Rob? Why are you laughing so hard at that?
Hey, thanks, Leah. I thought it was funny.
That's his job.
Hey, Rob. Did your wife come to the show last week?
Yes, and she and her sister had a marvelous time. Thank you so much.
Because she didn't even say hello to me.
Well, she didn't. She didn't want to, you know, press her luck. She saw you were very busy.
But still, I thought she was going to come and say hi.
The only thing she said to me when she got back is what a huge crush she has on Kevin James.
She has a crush on Kevin?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
Very cool.
Yeah, already my marriage is in trouble, so
your marriage is in trouble already.
That's nice.
Well, listen, Leah, if it's going to happen,
then we will just leave it to Charlie.
2 weeks from Friday.
You know, to do it all.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Oh, it's going to happen.
That's all we
mommy dearest.
That's all we wanted
do
to do.
Do a know. Little mommy dearest.
All right.
Christopher.
Damn it.
You, why can't you treat me with the respect that I'm entitled to?
Why can't you be treated?
You get the line of the girl. Why can't you treat me like I've been treated by
always take the best part.
Stranger on the street.
Do the swimming part.
Because I'm not one of your fans.
Oh, now he's upset.
Why?
I will always beat you. Because I'm bigger than you and stronger than you.
See, I'm trying to impress you.
But you're not doing it the way you did at the house.
All right.
You're not putting anything into it right now.
Do the swimming scene.
Yeah, do the swimming scene.
Go ahead. All yours, Don.
No, Mike, I'll share it with you.
Okay, very good.
That's the kind of performer I am. I'll share it with you.
Very good.
I will always get in there, man.
I will always beat you. Because I'm bigger and stronger than you. And then Tina says, Mommy.
Mommy, dear.
Mommy, dear.
I don't remember Tina's line on that one.
All right. Hold on. Here's the tip.
That's not fair.
Hold on. Here's
no,
the tip.
You lost again.
Here's the real deal.
It's not fair. You're bigger than I am. It's not fair to win twice.
Ah, but nobody ever said.
Life is fair.
I'm bigger.
I'm bigger.
And I'm faster.
And I'm faster.
I will always
beat you.
And I'm not going to play with you anymore. Ever.
Then we had to clip it before Joan grabs her and locks her in her bedroom.
And you always have the good line with the last line when she's chopping down the cherry tree, when she's getting ready to do it, when you ask for Tina. You know, when Tina, bring me the axe! There you go.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing with me.
My pleasure.
Thank you for sharing the stage.
I think
with
I shared my, you know, this is, I'm proving that I'm
you
just
guys
going.
Are so funny!
There you go.
I love it.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
And Charlie Broyhill is
so
not
funny.
The number two fan. Now I am.
Okay.
What happened?
Right.
No, we're just talking about who's the number one fan. See what you did to us?
I like it.
Yeah.
It's the first time it's ever happened to me.
Oh,
like
please.
It.
Yeah, right.
Please.
I swear to God.
Right.
Hey, where are my pictures of us on the couch?
The picture. Charlie should be sending those to you. Charlie? I saw the pictures the other day and I told him to send you the
picture. Does Charlie understand they have these great places? They invented it with the indoor plumbing, which is 1 hour photo.
Charlie?
Charlie,
no, we have
to bring it to something that he gets like a discount.
Leah,
like
the pictures are developed. Charlie?
Well, let's send them, Charlie.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see them.
Sorry.
When are you going to send them?
Please don't be mad.
When are you going to send them?
Tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Oh,
you're,
now, right.
You're not mad, are you?
Sent them, Don.
Oh, shut up, Charlie. He had told me that he sent them, Leah.
Right, he's lying. You see what he's
I
doing?
Lied.
Oh, he lied. Okay, that's
Charlie.
Right. He lied.
Charlie.
He's out of the
say way. Hi to Kevin?
Hey, yeah. Kevin James? Yes, yeah. Of course. We'll suck
hold
up.
On. Hold on a second.
Sure.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, you don't think we're too desperate for calling 2 days in a row, do you?
No, it's me. I told you you're set.
You
oh, all right.
You don't think it's pathetic?
Hey, get out of here.
Kevin just said the F word.
Whoops.
I had to delete him out.
Did you delete it?
Yeah, we did.
Who are you telling to get the F out of there?
She took my chili.
Oh, okay. All right.
You took it from, wow, did I really say that?
Yes.
I'm not in trouble.
No, tell her you're not in trouble.
Oh, man. They got a delay.
Yeah, we got a delay.
No problem.
You're perfectly safe. You're safe with us.
So what's going on?
No problem. You know, we just called. We don't want to be pushy. Just want to make sure that, you know, we're going to get our spot on your big show.
And I'm locking you. Don't show up next week, though, because it's going to be dark.
That's what she told us.
And understand, we know what a walk-on is. We know it's not like coming through a door or anything. We're just going to be schlep sitting on a set. It's fine with us.
But whatever it is, man, we'll get you in there.
Very excited. Right.
Kevin, thank you.
No sweat.
Thank you, man.
So what's happening? What are you guys doing, all
right? Right now, we're watching a videotape right now of naked girls bursting balloons with their butts.
Yeah, they're sitting on the balloons and breaking them, and we're reviewing it.
The wrong vocation, my friend.
Although we're not up to the part yet where they're breaking the balloons. We're just up to the part where they're inflating the balloons.
And so far, the review
is that what their butts do or no?
No. Now, that would be a video right
yeah.
there.
No, it's orally. They're
yeah.
orally
oh, okay.
blowing them up.
It's not all that good, to be honest with you.
Really?
We're reviewing it, and so we have to be honest with our listeners.
Oh, okay, I see.
We're hoping it gets better. Last week, we watched an awful tape of these two redneck girls.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a mud fight video.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it was awful. Poor production, and the girls never really even fought.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're very disappointed by lots of these videos we get.
Was it like the WWF of
Not even that good.
Really?
Right. Well, it was like home video with these two hicks out by their trailer park.
Oh,
and
my God.
And they had bad dialogue, like, you stole my husband.
Oh, jeez.
Stole my husband. They slap each other.
Yeah, really nasty.
Well, we'll bring these tapes out for you if
right,
you like.
Cool. Yeah, bring out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we'll give them to you.
Okay.
Well, right. Fun.
All right, Kevin, thank you, my friend.
All right, guys.
Kevin
great
James.
Talking to you again.
Kevin
and Lee's reaching the phone. Do you need her again or no?
Yes.
All right, hold on a second. All right, hold on a second. God. All right, guys, take it easy.
Thank All right, you, thanks, Kevin.
Thanks.
You said F word.
Yes, he did.
Kevin said the F word.
Yes, he did.
But seriously, did everybody hear that?
No, we have a delay, so we hit the little button and it didn't go over the
air. We have a tape of it, though.
You do?
Yeah, sure. We got it.
But really, somebody's that quick?
Yep. That's Donnie. Press the button.
Wow.
Got my finger on the button. You want to know what, Leah?
What?
You could say it now if you wanted to. I'd delete it out, too. Go ahead. She did. And I just deleted that out, too. It's great to have a safety net.
Yeah, watch this.
Oh, no, wait. Hold on.
You can't do it. You
can't do it twice in a row.
It's got to reset real quick, you know?
Because if you do it twice in a row, we won't be able to hear your voice on the
telephone. Well, you should have done it faster.
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All this stuff over here.
Well, it works like a graph.
What's that?
Well, it's a statistical chart covering the pattern of crimes in the neighborhood over the years, and with this as a basis, it's predicting the course of law violations during the current year. Like it?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, that is real good looking with all the Crayola work and everything on it. But I tell you the truth, we don't go in too much for charts. We mostly work with the people.
Yeah, this is usually a bunch of nonsense.
Well, now, don't underestimate statistics. Sometimes their accuracy can be uncanny, especially in the field of prediction according to past patterns. Mm-hmm. For instance, before the month is out, I venture to say you'll have 12 traffic violations, 3 break-in and enterings, 1 wife-beating case, 1 vagrant.
Wife-beating?
No. Yeah?
No.
Because according to past patterns, it should happen.
That's a laugh, huh, Abby? A chart predicting crimes like it was some kind of a crystal ball or something.
Yeah. Hello, Sheriff Teddy speaking.
What? Well, yeah, I'll get a man right on that. Much obliged, Grace. Well, what do you know? Your crystal ball seems to be working. Ed Simpkins just give his wife what for.
Well, I thought it would happen this much, but I didn't figure on this kind of timing.
I'll get right out on the case, Andy.
The Don and Mike Show. Hello, la la la, the Don and Mike Show.
Do you ever go into a restaurant, I have a pet peeve, it's really minor, it's real nitpicky, but I have to share it, because when I'm in a restaurant, and if I say a real nice thank you to somebody, and you get, I'd rather have no response at all than this response, when somebody like brings you a Diet Coke and puts it down in front of you, goes, thank you very much, and the person goes, uh-huh, that to me is just like saying, you know, it's like saying, my response to you is, whatever, your thank you means, I'd much rather have a smile or something instead of, uh-huh.
Maybe it's the restaurant you're going to.
Well, I
don't think that, Mr. Tasty Diner, where you eat all the time.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, in the old country buffet, they ought to be just as nice as anywhere else.
That's the one I was trying to think
There's
of.
There's a new one, too, that we might try this weekend. I think it's called the Steak America or some sort of... It's a steak... People will know this. It's steak something all-you-can-eat buffet.
Wow.
Now listen. Now, I mean, really, can you imagine that?
Welcome to Mike O'Mara's Heart Attack City.
Steak and buffet in the same... title of the restaurant.
Cool. Cardiac Carousel.
Man, you imagine that just like stacks and stacks of steak? Eat it till you're full?
Like the big Fred Flintstone steak that he had at the drive-in at the end of the Flintstones?
That's right. It's probably not real expensive steak, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Right. Like the kind of steak my mother-in-law buys for my father-in-law. I'll tell you something. My father-in-law, I mentioned we're going to the beach this weekend. Mm-hmm. Just a quick one-day trip up there to our place. My father-in-law loves it. When we come to the beach, because we'll go to the store and we buy steaks and I grill them out on the deck.
Real steaks.
And he loves it. And my mother-in-law sometimes will come over and she'll say, did you buy a steak for Pop-Pop? And I'll say, yeah, I got one. And she'll say, oh, well, that's too bad. I've had one in the freezer for a couple of weeks, and every night when I want to make it for him, he says, no, he'd like something else. And I look at it and it says, steak cost 89 cents.
It's under the protective ice.
Yeah, and it looks like some old shoe. It has a very, Mike will understand this, a very Gomez look to it.
Ah, oh, really?
It looks like bad meat.
Yeah, and is it shrink-wrapped? Is that the way it's packaged?
Yeah.
Yeah, very dangerous.
Yeah, my father-in-law is just too nice to say to my mother-in-law, listen, you know, you're buying me bad meat.
You know, shrink-wrapping for any kind of meat product to me always says... You know, it's in the source where they're sending it out from the distribution point, and somebody looks at it and goes, man, that's got like about a half hour left. You better shrink wrap that thing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to find out if you guys still were looking for people to answer the phones.
I didn't know that we were. I mean, outside of the fact that I would like to fire Mike Rockhead and replace him with Christine Kerner again.
I think at one point you might have mentioned you wish we had a real hot girl.
Oh, a naked girl.
We
wanted a naked girl to answer our phones.
Oh, I'm not that girl.
Well, who is the celebrity you most resemble?
I get Drew Barrymore a lot.
Thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks so much.
Listen, on this show, I'm sure you're a wonderful woman, but on this show, saying you look like Drew Barrymore is an immediate disqualification.
Sorry.
I apologize. I'll have to talk to my parents about that one.
You should.
That's funny.
Okay, let me ask you, though. If we hired you to answer the phones, would you do it topless?
For a reasonable fee, maybe.
A reasonable fee?
Good.
How about is reasonable a little less than minimum wage?
Jesus, are you for real?
Yes.
We're always for real.
Absolutely.
Good luck finding someone. Okay. Really?
I have a beautiful man doing it right now who doesn't mind taking his shirt off. His name is Michael Rockhead.
I'll tell you right now, I think it's appropriate that we share some real truth with our listening audience right now. The fact of the matter is this show does not originate from Washington, D.C. The show, in fact, originates from a sweatshop in Honduras.
Where we are currently paying Michael Rockhead 48 cents an hour.
Absolutely. What we have here is...
Kathy Lee, the manager?
She comes down occasionally to look at her factory, but we got Don and Mike in a studio, then we have Joe Rockhead out there in the one sweatshop, the sales force for this station, then on the other side of the building, they're making soccer balls.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, baby.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, you.
I have to. You could tell your mother-in-law not to stop buying that B. Arthur steak. That's what it is.
Yes, right. Beatrice Arthur steak. Oh, you know what?
That's the brand.
Somebody mentioned to me, I was talking to somebody in the sales staff who said that I don't know who they sold our Los Angeles show too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we go out and we do a show somewhere, they sell a client like sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
Said the client only had one complaint, and I was ready for,
right.
Bring it on. What's the complaint? Right. The sales guy said, client was really upset when you had Betty White on that you said you were going to tell her the Beatrice Arthur joke and then you forgot to tell her the Beatrice Arthur
right.
joke.
Oh, that you forgot?
Yeah. So the client was cool.
she had that demeanor, though, where, I frankly don't think she would have taken it well at all.
I think it would have gone over.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay, we'll never know. I mean, we really have that window of opportunity. I guess next time we get together with Ms. White.
Yeah.
Hello, which will probably be at her funeral.
Michael, how are you today?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm calling from Burlington, W-E-A-U, and we're...
Where's that, Vermont? Burlington, Vermont,
yes.
Sir?
Yes.
Yeah.
We wanted to know if we get any of those, Don complaining is Redskin stuff. Nobody's heard that, and it's kind of like the lost Beatle tapes. So I was wondering if you could make a special request.
What?
Put it up on the thing right now, and I'd love to get on the air, possible.
Does this guy work at our radio station?
Do you work at the radio station?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh. Violation. Violation.
I feel like Tom Hanks right now. You're not supposed to call on the request line.
Listen, just plug the show in and enjoy the show.
Let me
quote Mel Karmazin. What haven't we done for you?
There's no more. You can't beg for more. I mean, this is the time for listeners, not employees of radio stations.
I know, but we've gotten a lot of requests from Burlington.
You can tell the people.
Radio report.
Well, then all you got to do is call the Washington Redskins, and for a nominal fee, you can run the Redskins games on your station like 70 other stations do around America, and then you can run my goddamn pregame show.
I know. We'd be like a tease or something.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. This is this show, and that is that. Show and furthermore, you should never be calling us asking us to do this.
Okay,
for you.
Well, who's the football guest today? And then we're cool.
Well, I don't have to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
And what are we talking about? Vermont?
Yeah.
The last time I checked, I know they're a very popular football team, but Vermont is not really the wheelhouse for the Washington Redskins.
I know they're about a thousand.
I know they just all want to hear Don and doing his shtick there.
Well, then, as I mentioned, call the Redskins. And I know that the Redskins have the largest radio network of any team in the NFL, over 70 radio stations. Mm-hmm. Sign up and you can run the show.
Okay.
Okay.
What's your name so the next time we call the station we can ask for you?
And your title, please.
Well, this is Tim O'Brien, and I'm basically the station manager.
Basically the station manager?
I am the station manager, yeah.
You are the station manager.
And what is your name?
It's Tim O'Brien.
Tim O'Brien.
And we'd be able to check that out?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right.
La, 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 la.
Very strange. When he first started talking, he said, and I'd like to be on the air.
All right. Yeah, and also, it just sounded weird on a lot of levels.
Very strange.
What was that again? The Burlington, Vermont?
Right.
Yeah, and Tim O'Brien. He says he's basically the station manager. And then he seemed to, you know, when we got into his area of what he did, his energy level seemed to wane a little bit.
That's not the contact name I have here.
No.
I got a list of all the stations and the contact name.
So it could have been a liar.
Yeah. Plus, I can't believe anybody's really calling the station in Vermont saying they want to hear my Redskins show. I mean, it's a good show, but please.
But he sounded like, he did sound like a radio.
AM FM.
Yes, hello, is this WEAV?
Yeah, this is The Office.
Hey, this is Don and Mike. How you doing, baby?
Oh, my God.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, listen, this dick that just called us, does he really work there, Tim O'Brien?
Tim O'Brien?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, yeah. We were just calling to check. There was a guy that claimed to be the station manager, and he was lying all along.
I totally love you guys.
Oh, we totally love you, baby. Wow.
Ooh, I totally love you.
Ooh, what's your name?
My name is Allison.
Allison.
Damn, now this is certainly a better response than we got when we called our station in Florida to ask about the hurricane coming through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I love you.
Oh, love you. Yeah, love you.
I listen to you every day at work, and I had to bring in my own radio because we don't get AM on the stupid radio in the lobby.
Oh, that sucks.
You so mean, I have my own little radio right at my own desk.
You mean you don't get AM and you're working in an AM radio station?
We have four different stations here.
Oh, it's one of those deals.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I got you. Hey, who's the celebrity you think you most resemble, you little nymph?
You want to know?
Yeah.
I've been told that I look like Carolyn Bessette Kennedy.
Ooh,
Ellen DeGeneres.
All right, well, thank you for your support.
Hey, thanks for calling me.
Hey, you're all right. We love you.
Well, call me anytime.
Ooh. I like that. Now, there is an attitude we ought to get from every affiliate.
Bravo.
Why don't you send me a naked picture of you?
I don't have any.
Why don't you take one this weekend? Send us a naked picture of yourself.
Okay, what's the address?
We're starting a collection of a nude photo album of all of the receptionists for all of the 60 radio stations we're on.
Then eventually we're going to turn it into a cocktail table book.
You know what? I'll get everybody in the business office.
Fantastic.
We're all women.
Good.
Wow. What was your real first name again?
Allison.
That's a good idea, Allison.
Allison, I'm guessing that you've posed nude before. Not professionally, but
I really haven't.
Are you married, Allison?
No, but I just got engaged.
Oh.
Oh, you know, that doesn't mean she still can't send us the picture.
I know, but it just took a little fun out of the conversation. Yeah. Are you in love with this guy?
Yes.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, he's not right for you.
And you are?
No, I'm
You're
married,
all married.
Too. Yeah, we're all married, too, but I'll tell you, he's not right for you.
Are you doing everything for him?
Oh, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, everything. Are you running the board, so to speak?
Hell yeah. Oh, can I say that?
What did she say?
With your cigarette. You do stuff to him with your cigarette?
No, I said, oh, hell yeah. Can I say that?
Oh, hell yeah. With your cigarette. What is with you today? You are tied up.
Mug
fight, then cigarette. That's time for the cigarette burns on your leg portion of the show.
I thought she said with your cigarette.
With your cigarette burn me. These to me are maybe desires you're harboring. I didn't know that.
No.
The pleasure and the pain.
Absolutely not, Mike. Well, listen, Allison, please do send us a picture of yourself.
Okay, give me the address.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay.
All right, hold on, please.
Frida, I was very bad at work today.
Frida would beat my ass, too, if I was into that. It would not even be a fair fight. Hello, Don and Mike show. If I was into that thing, which I'm not.
Light the cigarette.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi. Can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yeah, hi. How you doing? I just wanted to know, Don, if you ever knew that Betty White was a pinup girl at one time, and she did, like, burlesque nudie photos.
I think we saw her in a sleuth.
Yeah, we did a long time ago. I think she was Stonewall Jackson's girlfriend, as a matter of fact, during the Civil War.
All right, thank you.
No, she was like in WW2, she was like a Betty Grable type.
That's right. Way back when.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Way back when, after she was, nursing the troops of the Confederacy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Unleash the hounds!
Thank you.
Hello. Radio station.
Hello. Yeah, this is Tim O'Brien again. I want to talk to Don.
No, this is not Tim O'Brien.
No, but it could be.
No, but it's not. And you're on the radio, and your radio's up too loud.
You're very...
Oh, my radio's not even on. I turned it off.
No, you're a liar.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Established that.
Hello.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, great.
Hey, it's the All-American Steak and Buffet.
That's it.
There it is.
That's it. You had to know someone would call in with
and
it.
I knew it was a better name. Thank you. And I'm going.
That's right.
I'm going this weekend. The All-American Steak and Buffet.
Yeah, I haven't been there, but it looks pretty good from the outside. Though.
I've heard incredible reviews.
Oh, please.
Why is there always a vet next door?
Yeah, I wonder, Mike. Thank you, my friend.
Hey, guys.
All right. All-American Steak and Buffet.
See you. Goodbye.
You know what concerns me?
B12 shots, what I want.
You know what concerns me about the name? The All-American Steak and Buffet.
Yes.
Okay, which means maybe you
order a steak and then, like, it's a buffet with, like, crappy lettuce and stuff.
That would be very disappointing. Now, see, you know what? I want all-you-can-eat steak. You know what? That'd be a great name for a place. All-you-can-eat steak. I mean, can you imagine how...
It would have to be U for U, the letter U. All U, letter U, can eat steak.
That's right, kids free. Because, I mean, really, a kid under five, how many how many porterhouses can he eat?
Well,
exactly.
Think of young Rob Spiegel.
Well, that's an exception to the rule.
The baby Spee. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Lori from Sterling.
Yes, hello there, Lori.
Hi, yeah, I was calling to find out, Don, what your fantasy is with Helen Hunt. My husband's anniversary is this Saturday, and he says that he has a fantasy of Helen Hunt, but he won't tell me what it is. So I was thinking, since he's always listening to the show, maybe if you said what yours was, maybe he would say what his was.
Does it involve any rope?
No.
That's what I wanted to, okay.
Really? Rob, give me my music. Give me my sex music.
I'm good.
Do you have an elaborate fantasy that you're going to share with this woman?
I guess that means yes.
I guess that does mean, yeah.
Okay. Helen Hunt walks into the bedroom. She takes off all of her clothes. She stands in front of me nude.
Ooh, no waiting.
Then, and I want to give some props to Buzz on this, okay?
Okay.
At his deli, her body is covered with cigarette burns. Then, what I do is I go down to the kitchen. I go down to the kitchen, and I get one of my wife's... one of those plastic bags from the grocery store.
What the hell are you going to do? Stop it before it's too late.
Right. And then, right when we're having sex,
right,
we do the... What's it called?
Autoerotic asphyxiation. You are sick.
That's it.
Man.
Sick. Listen, man. You wanted the fantasy. And then afterwards, I would...
mouth.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. Well, just
get a lot of help.
Okay. Listen, you asked for the fantasy. That's the fantasy. Thank you.
Well, I hope that my husband's fantasy is not that.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, you asked.
Save your dignity. At least say you put the plastic bag on your head.
No, Mike.
No, of course not.
No.
No, man.
No, I gotta live. Listen, you ask. You ask.
Oh, man. You know, we just respond to all the crap that comes in.
Stay there. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hi.
What's the matter?
My mother caught me.
Caught you? Doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean?
She caught you?
Where? I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started losing
Glamour?
So one thing led to another.
So what did she do?
First she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was going to faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
Did she jump?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't run over there the way I was.
No, I didn't.
I wouldn't think so.
And that.
So she fell, and then she started screaming, my back, my back. So I picked her up. I took her to the hospital.
How is she?
She's in traction.
Sorry.
It's not funny, Elaine.
I know, I'm fine.
Her back went out. She's got to be there for a couple of days. All she said on the way over in the car was, why, George, why? I said, because it's there.
Glamour?
The Don and Mike Show. We'll be right back.
set of The King of Queens. Don and Mike are just about to do their scene. The scene has just begun. It is a scene in Cooper's Bar. Kevin James is sitting at a booth with Larry Romano, who we had on the show earlier today, and they're arguing about where Spence is. Don and Mike are just behind them at a table. Don and Mike are talking. You can hear some of the audio going on. I can see Don Geronimo at this point. He's wearing a Jets jersey.
That would be Keyshawn Johnson, Rob.
Thank you, Charlie. Kevin James is talking at the booth with Larry Romano. Now there's a clear shot of Mike O'Mara as Spence enters the scene. Spence sits down at the booth. Mike is taking a sip.
Did Mike just spit on Don?
Hard to say. This also introduces the second conflict of the plot. Spence about to move in with Kevin and Leah. They're still arguing. Don and Mike not in this shot, but they're about to be in the next wide shot. Let's listen to some of the dialogue. Don and Mike in that shot. They're talking to each other. They're about to act. There's Mike O'Mara, a nice lingering shot. Mike taking a sip of that beer. We have to find out if that's real beer or fake beer. Mike requested real beer, I know. Don and Mike still in the background.
What do you think they're talking about?
Probably good, clean American fun.
Their massage.
Perhaps.
From Warren.
Roberta, Charlie. Her name was Roberta. There's Mike, I'm sorry, there's Don in his Jets jersey. He's easy to spot. And the Cooper set is actually much smaller than it appears on television. There's only two booths and one table. Don and Mike are at the table. You can just see Don's sleeve. Frankly, Charlie, I'm very impressed with their technique. You?
They seem like they've been there before.
Yeah, they're born to play this scene.
Their experience on Babylon 5 is suiting them well.
I see a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through on this. If you're just joining us, we are on set at the King of Queens as Don and Mike are taping their scene in Cooper's restaurant. There's Don Geronimo.
I wonder if they're going to try to strike up a conversation with Kevin during this.
It's really hard to say what kind of ad-lib. There's the cut. Let's go over and see how Don and Mike think they did.
Okay.
You hear the applause? You know that's for Don and Mike. Heading over to the set. I think they did a great job. Going over to the Cooper set. They have a glow about them. I think they're pleased with what they did. Shooting Don the okay sign. Looks like they are too busy. Very good. We're now going on set. Excuse me. How do you think you did?
We don't know. How did it look?
It looked great. Charlie saw a lot of Babylon 5. I saw a lot of Briscoe County Jr. coming through.
Very good.
You got a lot of camera time.
Fantastic.
Who got a lot of camera time?
Both of you. It was a pretty even split.
We're very excited about that.
We were adding a lot to the scene, and I would also like to point out, are we doing this scene again? They are giving us real beer.
We're very excited about that.
This was a question we had. Charlie was curious, what were you talking about?
We were lip syncing, Rob. That's what acting is. When you're background players, you lip sync. But we were talking about sex while we were lip syncing.
Putting on the hips.
Yeah,
and we were all
destroying my reality, guys. If you could, seriously. I'm serious. I gotta stay in character.
That's Pat, and that's Spence, of course, from the show, and we're destroying his reality.
Now, our question. We were given only one direction, that at one point when Larry gets up and says something, we are supposed to react. Did we react?
I think you underplayed it. I would like to see you go real broad on this one.
Okay, all right.
Think Keystone Cops. Think
right,
Little Rascals.
Rob, how do you think it's going so far?
Personally, I'm entertained.
Very good.
All right. Remember,
We're drinking real beer. I tell you what.
Why don't you just go stick a mic in Kevin's face and ask him how he thought we did on that.
You got it.
Very good. Thanks.
Going over to Kevin James. Thank you, guys. Kevin, how do you think Don and Mike did?
I thought they pushed a little bit. I thought they. Yeah, I think they were trying a little hard there. I think I actually saw Mike flex a little, his ass cheeks, and you can that reads on camera.
You want to stay away from that or more of that?
During the taping, stay away from it. Later on in my dressing room, I
a lot more.
A lot more.
You got it. He says, overplay it, guys. Big, big is big. Exactly. All right, getting ready for take two. Okay. Good feedback from the star there, Charlie. Okay, we're back to our monitoring position in the bleachers. Backstage at Sony Television Studios, Hollywood, California. They are rolling right now, ready for the command of action. You can hear the director calling in the background. Ready for take two of scene B as in Baker. A nervous hush. Show business. When they say background, that's when Don and Mike start to pretend to talk. The establishing shot of the scene is a great shot of both Don and Mike. Very easy to spot them. Crowd seems to be just as pleased with the scene the second time through. And since Don and Mike are drinking real beer, I think we're about to see some real exciting theatrics. Mike O'Mara, dead center screen right now. He is wearing a brown or a tan jacket from Pinehurst Country Club.
Oh, my mommy needs me to drive her, to cut up a meat for her, to draw a freaking eyebrow.
We're gearing up to the portion where Don and Mike really have to act, and they said they were going to play it in broad. This time, I think it's an exciting moment.
You know what, Spencer? Uncle Soup is ringing your mother's bell right now. And not her doorbell. I meant like he's ringing.
Once again, Mike O'Mara underplayed it. Rolling with the scene, though, I think he's going to be pleased with the result. The scene seems to have a lot of good momentum the second time through. And I think you can thank two reasons for that. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. The scene is nearing completion. Uh-oh. They had to cut early there because of a... because Kevin James broke up. I'm curious to think how Larry Romano thought that scene went. I can't see how he would not be happy. Your thoughts, Charlotte?
Well, I agree.
Thank you, Charlotte.
What did you think of their performance?
I am very impressed with their performance, and I'm also impressed with all the airtime they're getting. They're professionals. They have done the job.
Kevin thought they overdid it.
Kevin doesn't understand comedy. Okay? Do you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Don and Mike stole the scene. They stole... What they did, those little bastards, is they came in here, and they underplayed it, and they stole the scene. You see what I'm saying?
You're saying they stole the scene, basically.
These little bastards stole the scene. I am so damn proud of them.
Let me go relay that.
Okay.
Let's go tell Don and Mike that Leah thinks they stole the scene.
Incredible feedback. Incredible feedback from Leah Remini. You stole the scene. How do you feel about that?
Rob, I'm a little emotional right now. If we stole the scene, I'm very excited.
Frankly, I don't know why we have to do this a third time. I don't know if I have a third take in me.
You know, Sinatra only did one take. Don informed me that during that last take, I had a crumb of onion ring in my mustache. I'm petrified now if that happened.
I think that, you guys were perfect, but you gotta, cut a little slack to the other people in the scene.
Yes, the other actors who can't hit their marks
exactly
as well as we can. Pat,
Pat, are you the reason we're redoing this scene again?
Don, what's a sound you hate? What's your favorite curse word? What turns you on? When you get to heaven, what do you hope God will say to you?
Why do you ask?
You did a film, Electric Boogaloo 2, a personal favorite of mine. In the hospital scene, when you pop and lock in the ICU, what was the sense memory you accessed?
I have no idea. Anybody know what the frick he's talking about?
I believe it's inside the actor's studio.
Do you remember when Leah was talking about Pat and that he's very smart and he floats in a world above us all? That was a classic example, ladies and gentlemen. For all of you listening right now that might not have understood that, please understand that's what it is.
Thank you. Perhaps they'll understand it at a later date. Third take, your thoughts.
Third take, frankly,
unnecessary. Sinatra only did one take.
And frankly, I think the reason we're doing the third take is the girl that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres.
You know what? I'd like a thought from Mr. Larry Romano on this. Larry, I know you're getting your makeup done, but I'd like if I just borrow one moment of your time. How do you feel about the third take?
I love the third take.
Is it your favorite?
It's not as my favorite as the fourth, but I never get a fourth take.
They always say the third time's the charm. Is that at play here?
I don't know. Like I says, I like four. Like in four balls, you get a walk. Three, you strike out, you know? I don't know.
Right.
So I'm going with the walk.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, did they overplay it? Did they underplay it? Or were they, as many other feel, right on the money?
They were good. They really know how to drink a beer. Those guys are really good. I mean, it looks like they're really drinking the beer.
Well, their motivation is they want a beer. And so when they have the beer,
right,
it looks great.
They're at home.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to nominate those guys for what, I don't know. But
they've already been nominated. All right, they're about to do take four. Three, rather. Pardon me. Or as Pat Summerall would say, beg your pardon. So we're back to our secret place. Nervous, tittering, as they prepare for take three. I see good things coming. That buzzer means quiet on the set. You actually hear the slate before the camera, the thing that says take three. Don and Mike in plain sight again. Interesting that every time there's been a different joke on that line. I believe they're having to start the takeover because Charlie Broyhill was talking too much. Charlie, do you want to say you're sorry? Thank you, partner. So this is technically take four, the one Larry Romano was looking forward to.
Going for five, Rob.
Big five. Another joke. And the crowd embraces the joke. On this scene, and I can read the momentum in Charlie Broyhill's eyes. Seems transfixed. Mike O'Mara, dead center again. Gearing up once again for Don and Mike's big moment where they actually have an acting direction. They have to overplay this. That might be the keeper. We'll know shortly. Leah. How did you like that one?
That was great. That was great. And I noticed that Mike, when Larry Romano like starts yelling, getting loud in the restaurant, Mike was like, hey, he looked at him like he was...
He took the direction well.
Did you notice that? He was like, hey, why is that guy yelling?
Yeah, he flirted with that in takes one through three, but it was take five.
A lot of atmosphere. A lot of atmosphere. They don't actually take the time because they know that they're atmosphere, so they don't usually react. But Mike, that bastard, he's so good.
Well, he took direction on that. He was instructed to that. I think he was dead on. All right, let's go get the reaction from the atmosphere themselves. Let's see, there's a myriad of cameras, wires. Even though the scene is over, Don's still in character and drinking that beer. Scene's over. You don't need to drink that beer anymore.
Rob, we still have another scene coming up. I would like to introduce one of the other players in the show. Hold on, please.
Are you an L? And you're an L? Even if you guys weren't an L, Ani?
Oh, we need to change, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we have a costume change coming up.
It's time for a costume change.
Oh, no, hey, the extra...
How was it? Chris, did we do well? Chris says we did well.
The extra who was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and Ellen DeGeneres...
Where did she go? She's vanished.
Did she just run away?
She's vanished. Over there? No, that's not her.
No, that is her. Yeah, I wanted to finish talking to her.
An interview.
Hey, now don't hide from us. Come here. You were so nice.
All right,
you were so nice.
I love...
Give a fake name. Why would you give a fake name? You're on national radio.
How is that?
All right, now would you describe yourself as a career extra? Is that what you are?
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
How many shows have you done this type of thing, background extra work on? How many shows have you been on?
Well, I've been on shows for like a long time. I was on one show for 7 years. And
like with a speaking part or like background stuff?
Speaking around and background.
Oh, really?
What was that show?
That would be Seinfeld.
Now, you remember that this is the gal that was hit on by Jerry Seinfeld and hit on by Ellen DeGeneres.
That's cross-gender hitting on. Who hit on you better, Seinfeld or DeGeneres?
Oh, definitely Seinfeld.
Seinfeld did a better job?
Yeah.
Ellen was more subtle, was, too awkward?
No. Jerry was the gentleman.
Oh, really?
And no offense, we realize you've been on television certainly years longer than we have, but you're the reason we had to do that scene over four times.
Well, it could be. I felt the first one was a little weak, but I heard a lot of talking going on at the table next to me, a little...
Do you think where we were sitting?
Do you think we were talking too loud, really?
Nearby. You could say the actors, I could say you. And, I'm just saying.
Okay, all right.
But overall, how would you rate, being the fact that we are rookies at this type of thing? Well, of course, aside from our work on Babylon 5 and Briscoe County Jr.,
Don't laugh. That's really our resume, honey.
That's our resume.
That's our real resume.
Aside from those two, how would you rate our performance?
Oh, this is great.
Thank you. Another thumbs
great.
Up.
Thank you.
As did you. A pleasure meeting you.
Do you want to give us your real name?
Resemblance to John Cleese.
Really, John Cleese?
No.
There's another one. There's one to add to Brian Keith and Brian Dennehy.
That's good. Now it's John Cleese. Really? Thank you very much. I am warmed. I am warmed by your compliment. Do you want to give us your real name before we go?
Sure, Peggy.
Peggy, thank you so much.
Hey, Peggy.
For that
thank you, Peggy.
Thanks, Peggy. Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Cleese, it was you bastard. It was a highly successful appearance. We have to now go get changed. Four goddamn takes.
Oh, I tell you, it was unnecessary. But
five.
It was five. There was two false starts because Kevin tripped his joke twice.
You know, when you're working with people that
amateurs
aren't the level of professionals that we are. That's what happens, Charlie.
Oh my!
The question I have for both Rob and Charlie, who saw it, Mike and I, our big chance to act was when Spence says something and Larry gets pissed off and walks away.
We're supposed to react. Did we do a good job?
Did we react?
Actually, in that scene, on at least one of the takes, only Mike was in it. And I think on the last...
God damn it. That's it. I've spilled my Diet Coke.
Oh, dear.
But who gets the onstage cross in the next scene?
Don does.
That's right.
Don does.
Oh.
I'm so sorry.
Wouldn't I know it? Wouldn't it be just the luck?
Do you remember? Oops. We
have to be quiet now. We have to break.
Okay.
We have to break. Great, great. I my best acting. Edited out. Typical story of my life.
We'll be right back.
Okay, we'll be back with more.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, boy, some of the players you see tonight may make it to the big leagues one day.
What? Aren't we going to see any washed-up major leaguers?
Sure, we get a nice mix here.
I can't think of a better place to spend a balmy summer's night than the old ball yard. There's just the green grass of the outfield, the crushed brick of the infield, and the white chalk lines that divide the man from the little boy.
Lisa, honey, you're forgetting the beer. It comes in 72-ounce tubs here.
I hope you'll space out the tubs this year, Homer.
What are you getting at?
Well, last year you got a little rambunctious and mooned the poor umpire.
Marge, this ticket doesn't just give me a seat. It also gives me the right, no, the duty, to make a complete ass of myself.
Okay, can you see Father Gunkel in my... What's the plan when we hail at the twilight mass gleaming who the flies and bright stars, who the pale of a sky, or the lamp of gleaming.
We're so
down and
garbage cans, Don and Mike.
Yes, indeed, we've made it back live.
Yes.
Alive, rather, from L.A.
Really? Good. And, you know, we were involved in that big news story that you heard about.
Yes. Oh, and we will be getting to our experiences in the earthquake because good. We were there firsthand for it. But let me just bring you up to speed on stuff that happened after the show was over on Friday, yes. After the radio show was over.
Please.
Right. You know, I thought that we would have the tape of us being introduced with the cast, but guess what happened? The tape ran out.
Ah, so we didn't get... You know, we were kind of awkward there anyway, so it's not that big a deal, because we were getting a curtain call in front of the live studio audience at King of Queens, and we were talking, you know, into one microphone as we did it. It was kind of slapped together at the last second. They came out of nowhere and said, you're going to get a curtain call, and then we, you know, had to grab the tape
and
recorder.
They brought us out first. What was so funny was that Kevin James and Leah Remini came up and said, listen, we do a curtain call after we get done filming the show.
Right.
Tonight, you guys are going to come out first.
Right.
And we said, oh, this is a great treat. Thank you.
Very exciting.
So we're standing backstage waiting the directors, waiting to give us the cue to come out. They're going to say, here's your cast from the show. We're going to be the first ones introduced.
Yeah, they do it like, you know, live theater.
Well, there's this other couple of actors, a guy and a girl, who play Kevin and Leah's friends on this episode.
Yeah, they're the character actors that were hired for the one episode, right?
And they actually had lines in the show, and they were part of the plot.
Right.
Well, they came to this little backstage area, and Mike and I are standing there because we've been told we're going out first.
Mm-hmm. They were not happy.
We're standing there with that guy Spence. His name is Pat.
Right. Great guy.
Right. Oh, he's got an HBO show coming out soon that we're going to be talking about, I guess.
Cool.
He's got like one of those half-hour HBO shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're standing back there talking to him, and these two actors, these other people, they come back and they physically start to push Mike and me away. They go, excuse me, you have to back up because we're going to be called out.
Right. This is when the assistant director had put us basically in the spot where we were going to walk out and get a curtain call. We didn't know it was coming. We didn't ask for it. We were thrilled. We thought it was so cool. We didn't have any speaking parts, and they're going to bring us out like we're real cast members. We were excited.
Sure. So these two actors are standing back there. They physically take Mike at that point. I think you were sitting in the chair.
Yeah, I was sitting in the chair, and you were standing up in front of me. And I was kind of like looking at your butt.
And they almost pushed me into your lap.
I didn't see that when they were in back. They were in back of you.
Yeah, the guy
like
came
right in that little hole where we were supposed to go out through the door.
The guy came around this corner. He says, "Hey, excuse me."
Was that the guy? I see the guy.
The guy really was just a ween. He didn't like sharing the spotlight at all. He's the one that said, "Move over here, dude."
Yeah. So he says that. He says, "Move over here, dude." He kind of pushes me out of the way. And then, great moment. The director comes up and grabs him by the arm and says, "Excuse me, these guys are going out first."
Right.
And he
right.
takes this actor and his actress wife, the lady who played his wife on the show.
She was fine. She was very cool.
Yeah. Good. They took them to the back of the line. So they get done with the show. And I wish we had this on tape. As it turns out, the tape recorder ran out of tape.
Right.
But the guy that does the world goes, "Okay, it was a great episode. Let's welcome your King of Queens cast. Here they are. Don and Mike!" And we come running out.
We're good at that. We can make entrances. You know, we like doing that. We go out and take the big old bow.
And then, did you notice that when the guy that tried to push us out of the way,
right,
when he was introduced, when we were standing out on stage,
yes,
when he came out, he actually pushed us again.
Well, that's when I said it. That's when he said, "Move over, dude." That's when he said, and he said it, you know, when somebody calls you dude in
right.
not the most flattering way,
mm-hmm.
that's the way he said it to me. That's the first time he said, "Hey, move over here, dude."
Because right. there was a
like, you know, "Hey, Mr. Novice, you don't know." Well, no, I didn't know where to stand. I didn't know where to go.
There was a spot on the floor that apparently they had told us we should go stand at, like a piece of red tape on the floor.
Which didn't really make sense to me because the cameras were off, correct?
Right.
They weren't filming it, were they?
Right, which is why, frankly, we didn't. We just stood right in the middle of the stage.
Yeah, we said, "Why?" Yeah, you just go out there and you're taking a bow. You know,
right,
it's
right.
like one of our Las Vegas styles.
So we get done with that, and that was great fun. And that
they couldn't have been. I mean, the fact that they did that, you know, the production people and the director, and they let us do that was beyond, way beyond what we expected, and we thank them for that.
The episode will air on Monday, November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely cannot miss us. We're in two scenes. The one scene we're in for 3 or 4 minutes, and the other one we're on for about 30 seconds.
And this is where you come in, our listeners, because you see, with all of this, we finally figured out the reason they're doing all this. They believe that we are responsible for getting them big ratings, so we want to call on all our listeners to
make
sure.
Yeah, you got
to
watch that episode.
I mean, you got to. It's real, and you got to tell your friends and your friends' friends to watch this. We have to make this the highest rated episode.
And then I hope everybody was able to get an insight into what it's like to make a television show.
Absolutely.
We did.
I bet for most of the show yesterday, we sounded like two chickens running around with their heads cut off, but
I think one of the guys here, Timmy Obibane, the Nigerian Nightmare, was telling us that he really got a feel for what it's like to be backstage at a television show, and that's what we were shooting
we
for.
We didn't get that feeling.
So when we got done with the show, at that point, they're going to have a cast party. They're going to go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got done with the show, it's very late.
Mm-hmm.
For our time, it's like midnight our time.
Yeah.
And here's a shock for you. Mike says he doesn't want to go out.
Well, it was late, and it was an awkward moment, and I just felt as though it was time to move on, and I was. I mean, that was a long day. That day started at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, here on the East Coast, and it ended at 10 o'clock at night, California time, and it was just a, you know, long day of running around.
So they said, "Why don't you guys come out with us?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike said no. He, you know, would feel awkward, and Rob was tired, Charlie was tired.
Right.
So they ended up getting in a cab and leaving, and me, because, you know, I'm the celebrity jock sniffer.
Right.
As long as they're going to invite me, hell, I'm going to go.
Right.
Sure.
So I'm waiting around with Leah and her mother and Leah's hairdresser.
Oh, boy.
And then, before we leave, I got to tell you this. You know, throughout the whole show, we had avoided Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Kind of on purpose, because he's like in a ritual before they tape the
show.
Yeah,
yeah, he's pretty focused on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. So right as we're walking out, Leah says to me, I'm walking out the door to go to this party, as myself and Kevin James and Leah Remini, your mother. And Leah says, "Oh, come here, I want to introduce you to Jerry." And I said, "No, you know what? I mean, I got to see him and everything. Really, that's okay." She says, "No, come meet him." Kevin James says, no, listen, let's just keep going.
Right.
She says, no. She brings me over to his dressing room. She says, "Jerry, I want you to meet a friend of mine. This is Don from the Don and Mike Show.
Mm-hmm.
The disc jockeys were here taping today."
Mm-hmm.
He looks me right in the eye, Jerry Stiller. He shakes my hand and he goes, "Nice to meet you. So you're related to Kevin?" And I just kind of looked, and Kevin said, "Yeah, that's right, Jerry. He's related to me." Well, we'll see you later.
Oh, that's terrific.
So we get out of there. Then we're driving all over Hollywood. They try to go to this restaurant where they're going to have the party at.
Right.
We get there, and it's all the people from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really feeling at this point like the odd man out.
Right. Sure.
Because it's in a restaurant, but they have a whole back of the restaurant that they've roped off. And they have those big couches, like used to be on Playboy After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
The couches that go like across one corner of the room.
Yeah, so everybody can get intimate.
Yeah, so everybody's like talking to each other, but I'm just sitting on this part of the couch by myself.
Right.
Drinking. I was drinking very heavily at this point. And Leah was trying to be polite and talking to me, but every time she would start to talk to me, someone else would talk to her, so she would talk to them. So I was sitting there, and just at the moment I was thinking, you know what? It was a mistake for me to come.
Right.
I did overstay the welcome.
Right.
In walks Kevin James with his Asian girlfriend and a couple of other chicks.
Uh-huh.
And he comes over, and he sits down next to me. And then for the next hour...
Right.
Pounding him with Kevin.
There you go.
It's like, boom, back and forth. And I'm sure that he was drunk when he said this, but he did say, when are you guys coming back to do this again?
That's very cool.
That's a nice.
He said that earlier in the evening, too, so that's cool. That's
so
very cool.
As I'm going to hold you to this. So we stayed there about an hour and a half. It's the phony goddamn showbiz with, like, the people coming up and kissing each other on the cheek and going, I want to tell you something. Your performance tonight, it was beautiful.
You're beautiful, baby.
You know, just such crap.
Right.
Just dripping down. So I'm there about an hour and a half. I'm getting ready to split. And I said to Leah and Kevin, they were sitting by me, I said, guys, I'm going to just get a cab and go out to the airport. And then she starts saying, no. No, come with me to see Angelo.
Right.
Her boyfriend was making a record. He's an aspiring singer. So I said, you know what? I really feel like at this point I'm like horned in enough on your phone for this evening. And she's like, no, come with me because there won't be a man in the car. It was just her and her makeup person.
Mm-hmm.
She says, so come with us to the studio. And Kevin then pulls me aside and he says, I got to tell you something. It's going to be very boring going there. I said, why don't you come out with me?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, you know what? I'm going to go see what Angelo's doing. So Kevin says, maybe I will swing by and pick you up later.
Mm-hmm.
Great. We get in the car, little bombed,
right
in the back seat. Leah's in the front seat. The other girl's driving. We get to the studio, big, major recording studio.
Right.
We walk inside, and it's like you see on television, or if you've ever been in a real recording studio, there's a big, gigantic board, and about two studios away with panes of glass in between, there's Leah's boyfriend, Angelo, and he's singing. And he's like not doing a Ricky Martin thing, but it's something like that.
Right.
And I sit down and I start listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leah says to me, what do you think? And I said, I think Angelo's great. And she said, no, come on. Don't bust my balls. What do you think, really? And I said, well, really what I really think is that his singing is very good, but whoever that backup singer is awful. And then because...
So you were feeling your oats a little bit in this stage. You're in your brutally honest stage, huh?
Very late.
All right.
Frankly, I've had about maybe a full bottle of wine by myself. I'm goofy tired.
Right.
And now I'm having visions of me being his producer.
The record producer, yes. With the good ear, that disc jockey, that program director ear.
Right. On the way over, I've made Leah sit through all my stories about, you should see my wall at home. I have gold records. I was the music director for major stations. I can hear a hit record. So she says, really, what's wrong? And I said, what's wrong is that the bitch that's singing backup is simply off key.
Right.
And she says, well, why don't you just tell them? And at that point, I was
she there or were they playing a track?
No. She was there.
She was there.
It was like it was Angelo and this backup singer in a studio, three studios away. And Leah, myself, and these other people, and the real producer sitting there running the thing. So she says, why don't you say something? I said, okay. I get up, and I press the button for the intercom, and I'm talking to the microphone. I go, hey, Angelo, how you doing? And he goes, he clicks back, and he goes, you know, hey, hello, Don, how are you? How did it go tonight? I said, hey, it went great. Can I talk to you for a second? Anything you want to say to me, just go ahead, say it. And I said, I want to tell you, you're great. But that lady you're singing with, she's not hitting her progression on the keys. And there's silence for a second.
Oh, my God.
And he goes...
She's there?
Yeah, she's standing there with him. Well, I was, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm tired. I'm bombed.
Oh, God.
I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, what do you mean? And I say, now this is where I'm really acting like I know what I'm doing. I go, there's a progression, Angelo. Your notes go, ah-ha-ha-ha. And I said, when you get to the ah-ha-ha-ha, you're fine. I said... She's killing you on about the second one. And he goes, can we get a playback on that, please? So now the producer's giving me the evil eye.
Oh, my God.
And he rewinds the tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we listen to it. And damned if she's not hitting the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm looking very proud. I've got my arms folded like this.
Right.
And I'm looking around the room. And I'm thinking, you know what? Damn it, I'm producing a record right now.
There you go.
I'm really doing it. And all of a sudden, the door flies open, and it's the background singer. And she is about 300 pounds. And she has long, long fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
Real long. Big black woman. She comes up, and she puts a fingernail right in my chest, and she says, who are you? And I said, hi, I'm Don. I'm a friend of Leah and of Angela's. And she says, I am Mrs. Barry White. And I think I know a few things about hitting notes. And I want to tell you something. You're full of S.
Really?
Mm. And then I said, I think your husband is a fantastic performer. There's no bigger Barry White fan in the world than me.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
but if you were to listen to the playback, I said, I'm sorry. It sounds to me like you can't hit those notes. And then there was another awkward moment of silence.
Right.
She said, I need a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves the room. And now I think, well, now I've done it. Now I've screwed everything up for Angelo, for Leah. Well, Angelo comes around, her boyfriend, and he says, thank God you said something. He said, she has been doing that. I have been here since 8:30. She has been doing this all night to me. Right? So I love it
when you put the accent on him that he doesn't have. That
well, he does. No, he does have a slight accent.
But you
turn
him into like he should be down in like a Tijuana jail somewhere.
He does have a slight, right. Is like a Mediterranean accent.
I don't. You always. I think it's because his name is Angelo.
No, he has.
Hello, Don. How are you?
Well, the music was at.
It was Latin music?
Yes.
All right, but I really don't think he's got the accent.
He has a slight accent. Or maybe I'm exaggerating, but he does have an accent.
Okay.
So he says,
Don, we are Don. Thank you so much for coming to the recording session.
I said to him, I'm sorry. I think I've really effed things up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I had a little too much to drink at dinner.
Right.
And I probably shouldn't have been here. And I said, plus, look, it's almost 1 o'clock in the morning, which was almost 4 o'clock in the morning, real time.
Right.
I said, I got to go. I'm just going to, why don't you just call me a cab, and I'm just going to go to the hotel. And then Leah says, no, you're going to spend the night at our house. And I'm running this through my mind. Now, there's a part of me that, I would like to go and spend the night at their house, but I'm thinking.
in bed with both of them.
Yeah, I'm going to come back and be hungover out of my mind and tell my wife that I spent the night at Leah Remini's house.
Right.
I go, that's not going to happen. Just call me a cab. And at that moment, I mean, like a vision from God,
mm-hmm.
Door opens, here comes Kevin James.
Kevin James coming to the studio.
He says, hey, are you ready to get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
I said, absolutely, get me the hell out of here, please, I'm ready to go.
Right.
So I shake hands with Leah's boyfriend, and I go up and I say to Mrs. Barry White, you know, sorry if I offended you.
And how'd that go over?
Not very well.
Right.
And then I say goodbye to Leah, and I go and I get in the car with Kevin, and Kevin says, so what are you up for? And I said, I don't know. I think I'm about tapped out on this.
Right.
And he says, where are you staying? I said, I think we're staying in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, that's a bad move. You got to stay out by the airport so you can stay out longer. You know where we went? You know those places out by the airport that say live, nude, girls?
Yeah, right. I mean, right outside the airport.
Right by the Carl's Jr.? Right.
Yeah,
that's where we went.
Oh, really? You went into the bar?
With Kevin.
Oh, my God.
And his girlfriend. Sat there for maybe a half hour, and I had another glass of wine. And
right.
Apparently, Kevin goes in that place all the time. It's like he walked in, he waves, and everybody turned, hey, it's Kevin James. And,
right.
You know, there was conversation at that point, but the music was loud, and mm-hmm. I was so tired. And
mm-hmm.
I finally just said, you know, it got to be 2 a.m.
Right.
And I said, you know what, Kevin, on the real time, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I never stay up this late. I really got to go.
Mm-hmm.
He says, okay, we get in the car, drops me off at the Embassy Suites. Big bear hug outside, you know. They're like, man, you guys are great. Thanks.
Wow.
I said, you know, no, you're great. You're fantastic. I check into this hotel. I go up to the room. I lay down on the bed. It's about 2:15. And just as I fall asleep, that's when the pictures fell off the wall.
Unbelievable.
And the pictures did not fall off the wall because I was drunk.
Right.
The pictures fell off the wall because at 2:45 a.m., they had a 7.5 earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had gone out later, and I'm in bed, and I was awakened, and I thought when I opened my eyes, I thought that I'd missed the flight, and that somebody from our crew was inside shaking my bed violently to actually get me to wake up, and it wasn't. I mean, it was actually the earthquake moving the bed back and forth.
Wow.
And I was, you know, when you're awakened out of a deep sleep from this, and you all of a sudden realize, hey, man, the bed is shaking. I'm in California. Earthquake! And I went outside, and the hotel that you were supposed to stay in was an atrium hotel, and it has the elevators on the inside.
Oh, right.
And the other memory I had was opening the door. I have no shirt on, and I'm wearing jeans with no shirt on. And I'm standing out in the hallway, and I'm staring at the elevator cables that are going back and forth. And then I look to my left, and there's a couple, a fairly good-looking guy with an absolute spokesmodel girlfriend. And they're looking at the same thing, and she looks over at me and gives me the once-over, and I'm like, wow, that is really... And I realize when I say wow, I'm half naked.
Oh.
And that's when I decided to go back and get my shirt on and take the fire escape down to the bottom floor. And I spent about probably a half an hour just chilling out and, you know, looking at the aftershocks in the lobby. And it was freaky. It really was.
I laid in bed for a second after the pictures fell off the wall and really for a minute thought, you know what? I really have had too much to drink tonight.
Yeah,
I really did.
You know, at that time of the morning, you did not drink, even if you've been, especially if you've had something to drink.
So I got up, and I opened up the window. You know, I opened up the curtains, and I looked outside, and I
opened
saw,
up the window and said, help!
I looked outside, and I saw the building across the street actually doing one of these.
Right.
Like barely moving. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know if this is the fact that I've had about 8 glasses of wine.
and you had just gotten to sleep, you said, right?
And it's at that point that they came on the intercom on the telephone in the hotel room, and they said, attention, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
Right.
That's all. They didn't say, evacuate, right. Come downstairs. They just got and said, hey, everybody, we're having an earthquake.
We're having an earthquake, a tropical earthquake.
And it never occurred to me to leave the room.
Right.
Never occurred to me to go down to the basement, to go to the stairwell as you did.
Sure, sure.
I just went back to sleep.
Well, that's because you've been out all night.
Yeah, because I was drunk.
It's one of those, you know, I was, it really just took me a while. And you guys, you and Charlie didn't come down to the lobby, right?
No, I stayed in bed. I heard like a little clattering. And I looked over,
What floor were you on, right?
I was on the sixth.
Okay,
way
you were
up
on
to,
four
the top
above
floor.
Me. Right.
And I looked over and the hangers in my closet are just jumping around. I said, that's sort of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I go to sit up and everything starts going crazy. And in the true lazy man, I called the lobby. And he answers, and I say, and it sounded real funny, in retrospect, I say, hi, I'm up on the sixth floor, and we're having an earthquake. Like, that's not going on in the lobby. Earthquake on the sixth floor. And he says, yes, we are. And I said, should I stand in a doorway or something? Because that's what they always say, stand in a doorway. He said,
I talked to a guy who was outside the lobby when I went around. I actually got down to the bottom floor, and the sign said, you know, open in case of emergency. I'm like, earthquake.
Yeah.
You know, and that thing goes, and I just walk around the front of the hotel, and I meet two people, another couple that's outside, and I said, man, I tell you, this is kind of weird. And the guy said, well, I'm from California, and you're probably doing the thing you should be doing right now, getting out of the building.
Right,
you know?
Well,
I mean, really, because that's, I mean, if there really is a catastrophic earthquake.
I had not a thought.
You were bombed. That's why you had not a thought.
Not a thought. I just went back to bed.
Well, I was stone cold sober, and I basically just pulled the blankets over my head. And
right.
By the guy in the lobby said there was nothing to worry about.
Well, if it had been centered in Los Angeles, the difference would have been you would have been in bed, like, between eight floors of concrete pancake.
You were on the fifth floor, I would have been in your bed.
Yeah, that's right. Because if it really had been, you know, they said if it had been centered in Los Angeles,
it would have been the worst earthquake of all time.
And I don't, you know, and if something was going to happen, I don't think you have time to process it. You're just,
it was
amazing. And it really wasn't, what I said to people, it wasn't violent. What I found it to be, my bed was just kind of being, it was like somebody was rocking it.
You know,
it was rocking. That's what I thought it was.
I called Frida immediately. Not a good move.
Yeah, I did too. I called my wife also at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I called my wife. I'm still a little drunk.
Right.
Just gotten it. I called her and said, honey, you're not going to believe this. And she said the way I described it to her was, I said it felt like someone put a quarter in the magic fingers machine.
That's exactly what that is.
Right.
That's the best description of the bed that I was trying. You know, I was trying to communicate that to people, and that's what it was. It was the rocking of the bed.
I just called her. I said, "Honey, I've had the most amazing night." I kind of screamed at Barry White's wife, and I went to a recording studio, and then I went to a strip bar with Kevin, and now
honey, there's an earthquake going on. My wife says, what time is it? I said, it's 2:45.
Right.
She says, where are you? I said, I'm in the hotel. We're having an earthquake.
Amazing.
And she said, we probably shouldn't be on the phone with me if we're having an earthquake.
Right, exactly.
And at that point, I think that she thought that I had a little too much vino.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it was, the only thing that saved that from being a real catastrophe was the fact that it was so far out. I'm not telling anything they don't already know. It was way out, but I mean, so significant as to knock a train off its tracks out in the day. And you got to realize how powerful something has to be. And then did you see in the news yesterday that now they've discovered a new fault that they thought was inactive?
Right.
And they were first saying that this was an aftershock from the 1992 quake, but no, this was its own little deal.
We got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You give me a sign, Red, when I get out there. I'll mess around for some time. Okay? No. We can't get them fucking left-handers out, for Christ, oh, fuck mighty.
Jackson gets Dan on a fucking ball.
Feel good, Tommy. I don't give a shit if you feel good. There's four motherfucking hits up there. I don't give a f***.
You got a left hander here, I strike this motherf***er.
Don't give a s***, Dougie.
All right, Your Honor.
Well, I may be wrong, but that's my god job. I'll make the f***ing decisions here. I'll make the f***ing decisions here, okay?
Strike here with 3 runs on the f***ing board yesterday.
I don't give a f***.
Hey,
don't give me any shit. I'll make a f***ing decision. Give me a f***ing mouth shut. I told you.
It's bad up here, man. It's back on the mound. You want to talk about it? Talk about it.
You talk about it in my f***ing office.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
say that. I'm just saying, talk about it inside. This is not the first thing talking about. Okay? That's all I'm trying to say. Pick up on me. We're trying to avoid f***ing.
Right. Great for you to be standing out here talking to me like that.
I don't give a shit,
Doug. I'm the manager of the team. I got to make the decision. And I'll make them to the best of my ability. It may be the wrong decision, but I'll make it. Don't worry about it. I'll make the decision. I gave you a chance to walk out of here. I can't around. We're down 2-1. If it was yesterday, it's a different story. I don't give a shit. You've got three left-hand hitters, and they all got hits on you. Rivers, Jackson, and the fucking other guy. They all got left hand. They all hit. That guy that just hit the ball with the left hander, wasn't he? I don't give a shit. Damn me or not. He didn't get out. I can't let you out there in a fucking game like this. I got a fucking job to do. What's the matter with you?
The Don and Mike Show. Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
RD.
Now, I don't know who's coming in today, but I will tell you that the smell of love is in the air.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes. Much like, remember, Buzz, you had that story yesterday about that teacher and their first student where they said they could smell sex?
Smell of sex on the teacher, yeah.
I smell sex.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Antonio.
Antonio Banderas.
I knew I could smell sex.
I heard you say that you smell sex when I came in the studio. You smell sex. I have had sex. I had sex. About an hour ago, I had sex.
And Antonio, you
see.
You don't wash after sex?
I sometimes a bit after sex, but it's not, not regular. I have a gift.
Oh, a gift for me.
See, a gift.
What is the gift?
From the movie you say you love so much, when Antonio Banderas was in Sword Fighter in Zorro.
Oh, I love the Zorro movie.
I brought two swords for you, a sword for you, and a sword for me.
Are we gonna have a sword fight?
We are going to. I thought you might enjoy if if you the a sore fight with me because I play, of course, a Soro. So I thought you stand on one side. I
now,
stand
now
on
what
the
do
other
we do?
Side.
Do I like hit you with my cold sore, and do you hit me?
Yeah, you.
Do
no,
you hit me
you,
with?
We try not to hit each other with
no,
swords.
No. It's not a sore fight.
See, it's a sore fight.
Okay, well, see, if it's a sore fight,
yes.
I'll use my cold sore.
Oh, no.
And what do you want to use? What sore do you have?
You are kidding. You are kidding. No. Hey, please, I know. You know, I try to do the English not the best.
Sword.
The English is not the best, but the sore fighting is something okay. I do in the movie. Sore
put a
fighting.
D on the end of that.
I cannot.
Do it.
I cannot.
Try sword.
I'm unable to do it.
Try the word guard.
Gar. Like a guardhouse.
Herd?
A guardhouse with a dog.
How about a with herd? A like a herd of
oh,
cattle.
Sure. I go across in Spain, Madrid, Malaga, where I live. We have a herd of buffalo. no, buffalo. A herd of sheep. Sheep, they are there. But look, I told you, what I told you, and they are we sore fight for fun.
How
we
you
pretend.
Want to sore fight? I
pretend. You pretend. How about...
okay.
You sore.
Hey,
see. We watch out for this.
Look at that. Out. Watch out for my genitals.
Here we go.
Hey.
Sorry for the genital.
Hey, that's not funny.
There we go. It's a sore fighting.
That's not funny.
Hey.
Yeah, you knocked it out of my hand.
Oh, man.
Now, that's not fun.
Okay.
That's not fun.
I said, okay. Hey, cut it out.
Oh, no.
Stop.
No, it's my turn now.
Yeah, okay. We try again. You get me angry. Why you play? So you just play fight. You try to do it mean. There's no reason for you to do it mean. Why you do that?
Well, you pissed me off.
So you
started to use your sword towards my genitals.
Well, you pee me off too. Okay, you pee me off.
What did I do to you?
You pee me off. You pee me off. That's what you do.
You pee off?
No, you pee. You know. You
can't say the ED.
I say we stop.
Here what? Put this sword down.
All right. Okay. I tell you right now, I just come into a big fuck. Give me my sword, please.
All right, here's your sword.
Please, thank you. I put your sword down, and then we put it. Now we can chat about the big movie. Antonio Banderas, people are talking about the
what is your
movie.
New big movie?
The big movie is the 13th Warrior.
The 13th Warrior?
The 13th.
What the hell is that?
It's a movie about action. It's a movie about fear. It's a movie about all sorts of turmoil. Turmoil that the man goes through fighting bad demons that are deterred. I am a warrior and I attack the demons and I have to fight them back. And it's very scary, very exciting, very... Michael Crichton. Michael Crichton wrote the book. And
what book is Michael... What's his last name?
Michael Crichton.
What book?
You know Michael Crichton?
What book has Michael Crichton written? I've never heard of him.
The Closure. The Closure, you know the movie with Michael...
The Closure?
Michael
no, I've never heard of that.
The memoir, The Closure?
The Closure, I've never heard of that.
This Closure, okay? You know,
oh, you mean Michael Crichton?
Michael Crichton is... Michael Crichton is the director and the writer. The concept of the movie, and they said to me, Antonio Banderas, you'll be good in a movie, so it'll be something special. And you know, anytime me, Antonio Banderas, is in a movie, people come to see because I create a sexy.
How come you smell like sex? Would you just have sex with your wife with the big boobs?
Melanie Griffith. She's so
beautiful. What's her name?
Melanie Griffith.
What's her name?
You know what her name is. You make
no, what is her name?
Yeah, I call her Melanie, okay?
What's her last name?
I call her
name?
Melanie. I know you try to...
What is her last name?
I swear to God, I pick up the sword. You really...
What is her last name?
Stop and pay me off.
What is her last name?
Griffith. What did I say? I said, like, it doesn't matter. You know what her name is, okay?
What's her name?
Okay, funny man. All right? Here's the name. Melanie Banderas.
What is her maiden name, technically?
Griffith. That was so funny. You make a joke. I say Melanie Griffith. That's her actress name. But really, if we technical,
yes,
you know the name was Melanie Banderas. That's what her name would be.
Have you ever been on Regis and Kathy Lee?
Beautiful woman. She is such a beautiful.
And she's the woman you had sex with?
Yes, she's my wife. She is my wife. I have sex with my wife. That's what I do. Because you love your wife, you love a beautiful woman. She wife. I am a beautiful man. She is a beautiful woman. We love each other. We have sex. Great, hot sex just before. And then she went back to the hotel. I came to the car and I said, I'm going to see Don. And she said, Don? Oh, she said, I know Don.
Really?
See.
I bet you thought it was Don. Who's that other...
Don Johnson.
Yeah.
Don Johnson, yes. He's not a nice man. No. She had trouble, many troubles with him, Don Johnson, and then she, his phone, True Love, with me, True Love. Antonio Banderas gives her True Love. That's why we get so on and so well. Because she loves me, I love her, and we make beautiful love. And then I did not shower, and that's why you say you come in and you smell sex. And she likes the movie. She said, this is a good, this is the 13th Warrior is the best movie you ever do, Antonio Banderas.
I said, she's your wife. What did she say?
No, she said, the Michael Crichton is the great director for you. He knows how to make your true talent come through your skin and come bubble up through the top of your head so everyone sees you in the movie. She's fantastic.
She ever talked to you about how big Don Johnson is, supposedly?
He's not a big star.
No.
He technically is not a big... He does a silly TV show with that wears the vest. They're too small for his stomach.
In his pants. Do you know what he's got in his pants?
Are you talking about the... His...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean his penis is big?
It's huge.
His penis is not as big as Antonio Banderas.
We heard, had a lady on the show that wrote a book, and she said his penis is as big as a Budweiser beer can.
Oh, it's a lie. It's a big lie.
Why, how big is your
penis? Huge. It's huge.
How big?
It's big. I can't tell you specifically, because if I told you, I'd embarrass you with the size of my penis.
How big is it? Is it as big?
It's so large.
Big as a Budweiser can?
I know for a long time when I was in Spain. When I live in Spain, I tell you right now, in Spain, they would say two things about Antonio Banderas. It's a great movie star. One of the best movie star ever to come around. And then they say two other things.
What?
Well, he is such a big star because his is so big.
Huh.
That's what they would say about me. But I come to the American, you know.
How big is it?
I tell you one thing. I tell you how big it is. I embarrass everyone and I don't want to share. I will simply say it is very big and my wife is happy with it because it is so, but it is really, I have to be honest because they say to me, come on the show, you speak honestly.
Yes, very honestly.
And I say, I to be honest with you, but I would not tell you exactly, but I will tell you, I'll tell you the truth. It's so large. It's very, very big. There are certain things I have to do in movies to pretend it is smaller.
Like what? What do you do to pretend it's smaller?
I put tape on it. I put tape on to make it look smaller. You see,
you put tape on it to make it look smaller?
I tape it down. I have to tape it down.
What do you tape it to?
I tape it to my leg.
Oh.
Well, I tell you the truth. Okay, you go, but I tell you the truth. I have to tape it to my leg because he's so incredibly large. He's very large. So you understand. That's the way it is. I don't want to embarrass you. If I was to tell you how big it was, you'd be, your jaw would open. Your jaw would fall off.
So what did I say? Your jaw would drop.
Your jaw would fall off.
You saying that you are then larger than your wife's ex-lover, Don Johnson?
He's a lie. He's a giant, it's a giant lie. That's the way it works. It is just a big lie, so that's the way it works. He said he's big, but a man, this is an old thing in Spain, we say in Spain.
What do you say
in
Spain?
A man who has to talk about the size of his must have a small and be embarrassed. That is the way it is. That's the way I work.
Antonio?
See.
I'm going to have to ask you to break for a moment.
Yes, sir. That's no problem. It will be a pleasure.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
Yes.
That earlier this week, I was out at Redskins Park.
Yes.
And the coach of the Redskins promised me he would call on Friday.
Yes, he is.
And I believe I predicted that he would call right in the middle of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Yes, I totally appreciate that. I would remain in character, though, if you do.
Would you like to?
Yes, okay. I would. That would be an honor.
Well, then let's welcome now.
Fulfilling
a promise he made a few days ago.
Fantastic.
The soon-to-be undefeated head coach of the Washington Redskins, Coach Norv Turner.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach Turner.
Hey, Don, Mike, how are you guys?
You are a man of your word, Coach Turner.
Well, you were in the office the other day talking to a number of the players, and I told you I missed speaking with you on Tuesdays, so I'd give you a call, and I did.
You know, because that rat bastard, Ken Stevens, didn't renew Norv's deal here, and I think that that is a crying shame, and I've mentioned that to Norv, and I will miss our weekly chats, and I especially told Norv, I'll miss our weekly chats because this is the year finally the Redskins are going to do something.
That's right, yeah.
Well, there's a good feeling right now, and, you know, our guys, hey, they've worked their tails off. We've had a good preseason. Now it starts for real.
Norv, are you excited about the chance for the Redskins to win the Super Bowl?
That, of course, is Antonio Banderas you're speaking
of. I recognize the voice, yeah.
I'm a big fan of yours. I think you're a great football coach, and I wish you the very best of luck in the football season coming up, Norv.
I appreciate that, Antonio.
I really hope I hope you do a great job and win the Super Bowl. Are you optimistic? Are you optimistic?
I am optimistic, yeah.
Very good.
I will tell you this, Antonio, and I mentioned this to Northface, and I'll say it right here, that there is a much different attitude with the Redskins this year. Yeah. Much different. You know, the last 5 years that we had Norv on our show, I would scream at him all the time and say, you got to kick a little more ass. And Norv was, and still is, a low-key guy. But, Coach Turner, you would agree? Different attitude this year? A little more kick-ass attitude this year?
I like our attitude. You know, we have a lot of guys with the attitude you're talking about, and we've added some players that make a significant difference. You know, when Champ Bailey, a great example, Champ Bailey intercepts the ball early in the game up in New England and returns it for a touchdown, that helps that attitude a lot. You know, Marco Coleman's off to a great start. Sam Shade, we've added some very good players to our roster.
I want to tell you something. This is why I love the Washington Redskins, and I've loved them my whole life. The last 5 years Norv was on this show is because the station was paying him. There's not a cent coming his way now, that rat bastard Ken Stevens. But I will tell you that the coach called anyway today. You are the greatest. You are going to kick butt this weekend.
Congratulations.
It hurts me a little bit to think that for you to think that the only reason I was talking to you is because I was being paid. I enjoy talking to you guys.
Norv, can I ask you a question again, please? One more question.
No questions, Antonio. I just said I'd call in for a couple seconds.
I just want to say, you still love the Don and Mike show?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Coach Norv, you're a man of your word. I will see you Sunday. Kick some ass out there.
Absolutely. See you on the field before the game.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Adios. He's a good man to call, right?
Yeah.
He's a good man to call.
You're a good man to stay in character the whole time Coach Norv is on the phone.
I go with this.
What did
phone.
I tell you, though, Rob?
I go with
I said,
this
I guarantee Coach promises he's going to call the show Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I swear to God, I said to Norv, I guarantee he will call right in the middle of Mike's bit.
You know, I have a question. Don, can I ask you a question about the Norv, the coach?
Coach Norv Turner.
Do you think he would be angry that I was here instead of your other partner?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
He did not want to answer my last question. I think
it's because he had a limited amount of time.
Oh, see, I feel better.
Just called in to say hi.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed the conversation with the coach. Go Redskins. I hope they win the Super Bowl.
Redskins.
Redskins are good. They're a good team.
Redskins.
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 There you go.
Fantastic. Go football. Beautiful. Yes, I like the football. I was going to be a professional soccer player in my home country before I broke my foot.
Really?
You do not know that.
You mean the faggy kind of soccer, not...
Oh, the faggy.
You know, faggy football, not real football.
I will get my sword. I will pierce your heart.
Come on. Will you stop it with the sword?
I have my
sword also.
You have your sword right
there. Yes, I do.
Hey, there you go.
Take
that.
Hold on. Where's my sword?
Oh, there.
Okay,
take that.
It's easy. It's easy.
Careful.
You don't look away.
You looked away.
I think you caught him in the eye.
My eye! You stabbed me in the eye! What the hell are you doing? You play!
Rob has...
We just doing a stupid thing when I play. We're doing a stupid thing when we play. You stabbed me in the eye! You stabbed me in the eye after the coach! Why are you stabbing me in the ass, coach? You're a bad man.
We will play low budget Jeopardy now.
You're a
now.
Bad man.
We'll take the first two calls.
I just saw. I said to everyone here, F out of your
man. Free line.
My eye is bloody.
And our thanks again to Coach Norv for calling in.
Jesus Christ, I can't see. Jesus Christ, I can't see out of my eyes.
Good guy. Big victory coming up for the Skins this weekend.
I can't see out of my eyes.
Phone number is 1-877.
I'm so happy my
365 3636. We'll take the first call right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party and you're trying to get me to go. But I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing ZD. Because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
The Don and Mike Show.
We got it together, didn't we?
A colossal waste of time. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Antonio.
See you down the hall.
What's wrong with your eye, man?
You tore the eye with this sword. I'm not mad.
I don't know if you realize.
See, I think they found a bandage off.
How lucky you were.
Cool. Oh, that eye does not look good.
I am a man. I am a man, so I will actually do the show no matter the pain, the pain I have on my eye.
You ever been on any other radio show where a head coach of an NFL team just calls in to say hi just right out of the blue?
No, I was so excited that he'll call just as a friend to call to just speak to you and say hi before the game, big game of the year is a huge tribute to you. I think you should remember that he calls if they go on to win the championship of the football. You should remember that.
Hey, Antonio.
See,
I want you to remember something. Okay?
All right.
I am the master at the sword.
So now put the sword down. Put the sword down. I will not do the sword. You got to put the sword down.
All right, I'm just kidding.
You know, just a key.
I don't even know what I'm doing with that sword.
Your skill is sword. Your sword skill is better than most guys, especially in this country. You do not know how to handle sword. You do a good job, and you're not a coach of the wrestling.
You know the last question I forgot to ask you?
What's that?
I recently saw you on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
Was she
coming on to you?
I think she liked me. I think that was another show. I like to have sex. And so there's another show where I come on the show, I smell of sex.
How do you say her last name, Kathy Lee?
Giffer. What? You laugh at me. I tell you already. Kathy Lee Giffer.
Gifford.
And Regis Philbin.
Right, and Kathy Lee.
Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee Giffer. She has a big breast.
Yes.
Giant breast. And she was looking at my big... I don't lie to you.
Of course not. Let's play the game. Antonio.
She was staring at
me. Who do we have online, Antonio?
This is This is Lobaji Jabardi. Nana in studio is a lady. She is a nurse from Rochester, New York.
A nurse?
She's a nurse from Rochester, New York. Let's say hi to Renee Shore.
Hello, Renee. Renee?
Yep.
Ah, there she is. Hi, Renee.
Hello.
Yes. And now entering the studio is a Marine band man. He is a Marine band. He's a Marine band.
Maybe he's in the Marine band.
Are you in the Marine band?
Yes, I am.
This is Matt Sommer. Matt Sommer, hello.
Hola, Antonio.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey.
And now entering the studio is a host of Lobaji Jabardi, a good sword fighter and a good guy. Let's say hi to Alex Survey Geronimo.
Thank you, Antonio. Hello, Matt. Hello, Renee.
Hi, Alex.
Hi, listen. Kids, don't forget answering the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing a clip-on tie. Suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex, unless we're playing the game. Then it's El Cunor, Quiz Master. We'd always call him Antonio Banderas.
I have to adjust my seat because my was bothering me.
Here are your categories, kids. And they are celebrity news.
I like celebrity. I live in Hollywood sometimes.
Sweating to the oldies.
Oh, sweating. Dancing, eh?
Name that NFL starting quarterback.
Just like the coach called, the NFL, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
I hope he wins the big championship.
These summer movies all made over $100 million.
Oh, see, not mine.
Yeah, right. You'll never be on that list.
Unfortunately. Someday, maybe, eh?
States and capitals.
States and capitals, they're educational.
I'll give it to you one more time, and here they are, kids.
Okay.
Celebrity news. Sweating to the oldies. Name that NFL starting quarterback. These summer movies all made over $100 million. States and capitals.
We play the game now.
Hey, Antonio.
Si.
Have I asked you?
No, go ahead.
You think English should be the official language of all of America, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good
I must
good
tell
man.
You that. Yes, I speak of both, but I think so. Absolutely.
Good man.
That is my political thing.
Good answer.
I give for you. Yeah, the political thing.
Good answer.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Hey, Renee, we like girls better than boys. So we will start with you.
Okay, let's start with celebrity news.
Celebrity news. Okay, for one, don't forget in the form of a question, please. This Felicity star made headlines by cutting her long hair short.
Well, you sound very sexy when you do that. Mm.
All right.
You do not have the answer, though. You, Matt is, Matt is your chance to steal.
Who is Melissa Joan Hart?
No, that would be Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell, yes, she is a very beautiful woman. There's so many beautiful women in Hollywood.
Would you like to have sex with her?
I love to have sex with all the women, but I love my wife, Melanie Griffey. Okay, Renee, you are in control of the board.
Okay, let's take the next celebrity news.
I bet you don't want to have sex with this woman.
See.
This grandmother is a co-host of the new NBC show, Later Today.
A grandmother on Later Today.
So I think I would disagree with you on that. Ma, is your chance to steal.
Oh.
I know this answer. I know she's a beautiful woman. I would have sex with
Florence Henderson.
Yes, Florence Henderson. She has a waistonality.
Yes.
Renee, you are in control.
Okay, we'll go with celebrity news again.
This Phoebe, also known as the world's oldest teenager, is marketing a new cereal called Millennials.
Oh, Millennials. Hey, clever.
He really is. That's not a joke.
Can I hear that again?
No.
Hey, Ma, is your chance to steal.
Who is Dick Clark?
Dick Clark.
$3 for you, Ma. Dick Clark.
Right, Dick Clark. This is new cereal. I swear to God, I read about the paper today.
Millennials.
It's little twos and little O's. Get it?
Superior businessman.
Millennials.
I would eat his cereal with a lot of sugar to make it taste good. Ma, you are in control.
Hey, did you learn that from Charles Loring Broyhill?
Right. We drink tea the same way.
I will take summer movies for $100 million. I have to explain to the nice park police officer why I'm pulled over on the road here.
Is there really a park police officer there?
Yes, there is.
If you, I will help you, Ma.
I'm doing okay. I'm on a radio show call, right, and so I pulled over so I wouldn't get it. Okay? Cool, thank you.
Well, you should have mentioned you're on the Don and Mike show.
He might have given you a bigger ticket.
Well, he said it's okay, and he's going back to his car now.
All I ever say when someone pulls me over,
someone was just honking for cash, so if I can get some, well, we'll get to that later.
What do you say, Antonio?
I say I am Antonio Banderas, I am a movie star, and I have probably the world's biggest... And he goes away.
These summer movies have all made over $100 million. Okay, for one, stars Bruce Willis.
What is The Sixth Sense?
That's correct.
$1, you have $1. You go again, Ma.
Summer movies for dos, por favor.
Stars Liam Neeson.
Renee is your son, so Steve.
Don't know that either.
That'd be a little thing called Star Wars
is just one small feature. I want to be in there. I want to be a Jedi. I was so good. Because lightsabers are very similar to a sword. Okay, Matt, you're in control.
Summer movies for three, please.
Stars Kevin Kline.
Oh, what is the Iron Giant?
Renee.
Yeah, that movie made $100 million.
Very successful,
No, it didn't, Antonio.
It did not.
No, it was like one of your movies that tanked.
The only problem is they don't put me in movies that are the big movies. I wanted to be in Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was so good. I would be a good in Jerry Maguire. I want to be the sport agent. I would have been good. You had me with Hello. Renee, you're in control. You trust us to you.
Now I forgot what the question was.
Pay attention, Renee.
All right, it's wild west.
I was busy listening to Antonio's sexy voice.
It's wild west. Wild.
Many women are charmed by my voice. And Matt, you're in control. Say that again, please.
I would take state and capitals for one, please.
All right, it is the capital of the great state of Massachusetts.
What is Boston?
That's absolutely right.
One peso for you, Matt. You're in control. Select again, please.
Capital for two.
The capital of the great state of Texas.
What is Austin?
$2 for you, Matt. You have a lead. Renee has no dollars. You are in control.
State's capital for three. Finish that.
The capital of the great state.
So, correct. $3. You have a big hole.
$10 for you. I'm sorry. I was counting. Matt, you're in control. Select again, please.
Well, you know, when you run out of fingers, you know what you could use.
I know what you're talking about, Matt.
Thank you.
That would be a big number, my friend. All right. You're in control. Select, Matt.
I'll take starting QBs for one.
All right, name that NFL starting quarterback. These are guys that are starting the game this weekend.
Oh, I know the answer.
He is the starter for the Oakland Raiders.
North Turner.
No.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oakland Raiders.
Oh, you don't say.
You ready? It is your chance to steal.
No clue.
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon, yes. Rich Gannon has a cannon. Huh? Pretty good. Hey, Matt, you're in control. Say that again.
Oh, at my own peril, NFL starting quarterback for two.
Philadelphia Eagles.
I don't know.
Renee, how about some help here? You know?
I don't. But at least you can't play the fag thing for me after that.
Oui, Mom.
Sure I can.
Oh.
Doug Peterson is the fella's name.
Ma, you're in control. Say that again. You won't get the answer, though.
For three.
All right, you know, I'm gonna make it a super easy one just because I pity you guys.
Yeah, bueno, this is generous. You are so generous with your decisions.
I appreciate that. Arizona Cardinals.
Renee, you are in Tensor Steel.
No guess.
Yes, that's a shame.
Jake the Snake, Jake Plummer.
Jake Plummer, he is a good player.
Jake Plummer
is he will be a giant star, and he will win the championship.
You know why they call him Jake the Snake?
Oh, because of his...
That's right.
Matt, you are in control.
Sweating to the oldest for one.
All right, this will be the last category on the board. These tunes burn the most calories while you dance to them. Okay, these are songs that some new study was done. It shows these songs make you burn the most calories while you dance to them.
Oh, this is difficult. This is very difficult.
The number one song makes you sweat the most. It's a 7-minute long song made for charity, features Mike Jackson and Bruce Springsteen.
What is We Are the Children?
Man, oh, you are so stupid. Hey, Renee, it's your chance to steal.
What is We Are the World?
That's right, Renee. There you go.
You go to the second round. You finally have a dollar. You must be very beautiful and very happy. Hey, Renee, your chance to do it again. Select again, please.
Okay, let's do Sweating of the Oldies for two.
Okay, Wayne Campbell's favorite song from the movie Wayne's World by Queen.
Okay, Matt, it's your chance to steal.
No clue.
I know the answer. Can I say?
Yes, Antonio.
What is the Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yes, that's right. Bohemian Rhapsody.
I was going to be in that movie, too.
In Wayne's World.
Yeah, party anyway. On. Renee, you're in control again.
All right, let's finish up Sweating of the Oldies.
All right, the final question on the big board. Reggae-style favorite. Hit song by Eric Clapton.
What is I Shot the Sheriff?
That's right.
$3. That is the end of the first round of Lovato Jeopardy. Renee has money, so she will be going to the second round.
All right. How much does Matt have here, Antonio?
He has a total of $10. And Renee, she has $4.
Let's play. Final Lovato Jeopardy.
See, let's do that.
Kids, here you go. We physically force you both to bet it all. Final Lovato Jeopardy. Good luck. And here is your category. 25 years ago today.
Ah, he's sorry. Yes, that's good. Yes, that's good. He's sorry.
On September 10th, 1974, this sappy Paul Anka song was number one on the American charts.
Number uno, si.
So need the name of that song. September 10th, 1974, this sappy, crappy Paul Anka song was number one on the charts. Matt, Renee, good luck. Don't forget answering the four... of a question.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy receive a collection of hairs. from the body of Antonio Banderas.
Your hairs?
See, these hairs come in a little test tube, but they are all certified. They are certified hairs to be genuine hairs from the body of Antonio Banderas.
And curly hairs?
They are hairs from my head, they are hairs from my chest, my back, and from my... You love them, and you love me, Antonio Banderas. Now back to Final Love at Jeopardy with Alex Ovechkin.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play Love at Jeopardy.
It's Renee that we want to talk to first, correct, Antonio?
Yes. See, she is a beautiful woman, and she is a low dollar. She is the low dollar, so you go to her first. Yes.
Okay. Hello, Renee.
Yeah.
Renee, 25 years ago, this was the number one song, and it was by that old fart, Paul Anka.
Well, I hear you breathe. I'd love to hear you on the hand.
Need the answer there, Renee.
I didn't have it earlier, but I do now. Can I still say it?
No.
Unfortunately, time is up for that, Renee.
Oh, we're sorry.
I'm sorry that is a zero for you.
Matt, you can win if you have the correct answer.
Oh, that was 2 years before I was born.
That is, I'm sorry. No. Also, not the name.
Can I say it now, even just to redeem myself?
Not the name of the song. Yes, if you got it now, well, you're too late now, but what is it, Renee?
Was it Breaking Up Is Hard to Do?
Hey, Renee?
Yeah.
Oh, we're sorry.
All
not
right.
Even a second guess, no.
Dug a little deeper.
It was You're Having My Baby.
Oh, Having My Baby. Yes, see, that's a beautiful song by Paul Anka.
No.
I like his music. He's a good singer.
Okay. Matt, Renee, it's the type of game that only Kent Stevens could love because we're giving away absolutely no money today. So please don't go away mad. Just go away. Here is Antonio Banderas to tell you about your gifts. Antonio.
Gracias. You have won a $25 gift certificate to Planet Hollywood in a celebration of the Arnold Schwarzenegger video collection. Oh, come on.
What do you mean, come on? He's a big star.
Oh, I'm a bigger star.
No, you're a bigger star than Arnold Schwarzenegger?
In a manner of speaking, yes, I am. A bigger
in what
star.
Manner of speaking?
He's speaking about my... available at stores everywhere. Planet Hollywood. Always different, always, every time. Now playing a delicious new menu of food for you. And thanks for playing the game, Renee and Matt.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Renee. Have a great weekend, kids.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
There you go.
Adios.
And
see you later. Don't let the door hit you in the rear end.
And Antonio.
See, always a pleasure.
Continued good luck.
Thank you. Would you like a test tube of my hairs?
I would not like a test tube of your hair.
I will put it back in my pocket.
Well, we will see you, I'm sure, the next time you have a movie out.
Adios. Thank you. And thank the coach for me.
Coach Norm. Right.
Yes, absolutely.
Always remember, never forget, that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Coron, Incorporated, and it's distributed by King World. Hey, check out my hairy ass.
Adios.
Yeah, that was a little shocking, wasn't it? Looking out the window and seeing an entire family. Do we have any... Security
is
here.
Is there any security here?
No.
Rob, would you go find out who the goddamn family is and just walk by the window? Would you please? I mean, they seem like nice enough people.
Seem like
but,
very nice, but it is scary, you know, when that happens.
It's 6:30 on a Friday night.
You don't want them in here then? You don't want to say hi to them?
No,
you?
I want to know who the hell they
All
were.
All right, be right back.
Go find out who they were.
It is just very disconcerting. There are certain people that approach that window where it just freaks us out.
I mean... There was already a guy from Sacramento, a nice enough guy.
Right.
The guy came all the way from Sacramento.
Right.
You see, Mike and I went out about an hour ago, said hi to the guy, had our picture taken with the guy. Mm-hmm. About 20 minutes later, I hear, hey, don't go out through the front office.
Right.
The guy from Sacramento is still sitting out there.
Yes, yes, we've had lots of visitors today.
Right.
It's a very small ship we have. It's like working in a trailer.
And we just got done doing the Jeopardy, and we look up, and there's a mom and a daughter.
Right.
And a dad holding a baby.
The whole family.
And
I mean, a perfect American family.
They're all standing at the window looking at us like you look at the monkeys in a zoo.
And are we big? Yes, we get frightened by a simple American family.
I wish we had a lock on the damn door that worked. That's all.
It's the owner of the building.
Oh,
they were with him.
Oh,
all right.
Jesus.
Then it's
well,
okay.
We're sorry.
It's okay.
We're sorry.
No. Hey, Tom. Is that which one is
yes.
that?
Tom. Yes, Tom. Don't yell at
Tom.
Tom's a very. Think of all the cigars he's given us.
I know.
And the contest he sponsored.
Yeah, yeah, the contest he no longer sponsors.
Well, he used to.
Yeah, used
and
to.
And he might again.
Rom, come on.
He might again.
Come on.
Oh, dear.
Sponsor the contest.
Oh, dear. He's a very nice man.
I got a short memory.
He's going to be at the fantasy draft tomorrow.
I know he's in
We're
our
going
fantasy.
To see him tomorrow morning.
There he is. Welcome him now, the man who actually owns this building.
He owns the building. Tom, a round of applause for Tom.
Hello, Tom. Hey.
The greatest building owner in the history of the world.
Hello, Tom.
Not right now, I guess.
Hey. It's fine.
Tom, who were those folks?
Those folks were going to walk outside and stare in your window outside, and I wrongly brought them in and let them stare at you in front of us in the hallway.
That's okay. All right. That's okay. Sorry, we're out of time.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.